Go ahead and start that show open there, Bean.
Your guys aren't sending me anything, all right?
That's about... You gotta put it in perspective.
Now it's time for all the young people to come to the dance floor.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
R2, a comment, please. I've noticed you've gained some weight. I was just pointing that out. Maybe a quick, like, detox or a flush or something might do you well. Now, what do you have to say about Lindsay Lohan going to jail? Interesting new take. And how do you feel about Mel Gibson? I couldn't agree more. Well, thank you so much, Mr. D2. I did not know I was going to get the R2-D2 money shot.
Look at that pretty little head of yours working up ideas. I'm a fan.
And now.
Well, sex is good, right?
Not the way Ralph does it.
Damn you, Sharktopus!
Our feature presentation.
And they're putting him on TV.
That's what I hear.
Psycho Mike.
Oh, Mike with his R2-D2 interview? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's happening. Psycho Mike was just telling me there's a little bit of a drama potentially in his travel plans because he's flying to New York to be on the Regis show. He's going to be Regis in the Regis and Kelly show on Friday.
Right.
And I guess, what is it, Mike? They've got another storm system coming in? They got more snow on the way in New York?
Yeah, it's already...
concerned about your travel plans, right?
Exactly. It's already super-duper cold, and they're anticipating... you know, the BS weather guys are saying there could be another cold front coming in, so it's going to get worse. But it's only possible, so we'll see. But they called me yesterday, the powers that be at Regis, and they're like, prepare to maybe fly in a day early just so that we're safe. And
us, you know, today.
Yeah.
Right? Wow.
That's what you want to do.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And then you're going to prepare to stay there for a couple of weeks because you're not going to be able to get out. Yeah.
It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday already. We've got a huge show we'll tell you about in a moment. First, though, I got sent this email. I don't know. I appreciate the Kevin and Bean listeners thinking of me, and I got this email probably 20 times over the last few days. And you might think that I'd be excited about this story, but you'll see why I'm not once you hear what happened.
All right.
A 30-year-old woman in Buenos Aires, that's in Argentina, don't you know, Kevin?
Yep.
Down there by Portugal, Argentina. She has she hurled herself off a rooftop at the Hotel Crown Plaza Panamericano, 330 feet from the roof to the ground.
She did it on purpose? She was killing herself?
Yeah, she jumped. She jumped.
Right.
Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your perspective on the story, a taxi cab pulled up while she was in the air.
Right.
And she landed on top of the cab, crushing the car's roof, shattering its windshield, and ending up in the front seat. The cab driver had pulled up in front of the hotel, saw the police and others looking up into the sky, and thought to himself, in Spanish, hey, what are they looking at? He steps out of his car to look up as he sees the woman coming down on his taxi cab. Would have killed him had he still been in the car because she crushed the roof down to the sea.
She didn't die even though she hit the car?
She has severe injuries, including internal bleeding, broken hips, and ribs. Doctors have had to remove one of her lungs, one of her kidneys, and her spleen.
Right? Oh, my God.
Again, she's 30 years old. So, recapping now. So, she's trying to off herself. She jumps off the top of a hotel. She would have killed the cab driver had it been 2 seconds earlier. She doesn't die. She's in the hospital. My question to you is, this happens to her. Is she happy or sad about what happened?
Oh, I think she's sad. I mean, she clearly had an end in mind, and that wasn't it.
But they always say that as soon as you step off, you regret it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so maybe she's
happy. I'm going to say she's happy.
I just think that you would look at that as, you know, I don't know how religious she is, but some people would look at that as a sign that, hey, I meant to live. Some people would look at it as, wow, I was really distraught and fraught with emotion, and I really wanted to die, but now I see how lucky I am to be alive. I'm unbelievably lucky that I survived this. So it's an opportunity to do things differently, do things better, maybe. I don't know what's going to happen to her. But I wonder what's going through her mind. I mean, she's not pleased about being in the hospital with all those injuries, but it sounds like she'll recover from them and she will have another opportunity. And who knows? Maybe she'll go on and live a regular life.
I will tell you that her quality of life will be diminished. Whatever was wrong before, this is not going to add to, I mean,
health
make it better.
Yeah. Are, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be painful. Maybe it's just very difficult to get a cab in that city. So she saw one and she was like, well, I've got to get it. And she jumped.
She definitely she found one in the right place at the right time. That's for sure. Yeah. This time, by the way, it was only back in September that a New York City resident jumped off a 40-story building and suffered a broken leg, collapsed lung, and shattered ankle. He landed on a car also.
Hmm. Yeah, so, the tried to commit suicide but failed is funny. First, it's sad.
Yeah.
But then it's funny and ironic. And then it's just, you go, well, how would they look at it then? Maybe they're...
Yeah, that's what I'm dying to know. I'm dying to... Well, I'm going to date this woman, clearly. She's
sure.
Fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm eager to find... I have to learn Spanish first, but I'm eager to find out what's going to happen to the rest of her life. See, this is my problem, Kevin. You think there's too much news. I think there's not enough news. I want to follow up on this woman in a month. I want to follow up on her in a year, and I want to follow up on her in 10 years. But
yeah,
they don't ever give me that.
You get enough information. You don't need more.
But I have a lot of unanswered questions in my life. And
right,
this is going to be one of them to add to the pile now.
Here's the thing, though. You don't need to know everything.
But I'm saying
it's okay.
5 years from now, I'm going to wake up and go, whatever happened to that chick who landed on the taxi cab?
Right.
Buenos Aires back in 2011.
And then you're going to go,
no way to find that answer.
I sure don't care.
But
oh, well.
I will.
I'm sure she's fine.
But I will care.
Well, so. Vacation. Go find her. Get
anyway,
your hair cut.
That would be funny if every vacation Bean tracks down
track
someone
down
from
story.
Some story.
He needs to have more information.
There you go.
Remember how deeply I fell in love with our guy with the satellite dishes in West Virginia, remember?
Yeah, Al Jessup.
Al Jessup,
right?
Yes. Years ago, we talked about this guy who had 21 satellite dishes around his trailer, and he was watching 5,000 TV channels.
He was the most boring interview.
He was phenomenal. He was dynamic.
I mean,
he was
dynamic.
Dying. He was exciting.
He put down the phone to go find some papers.
I asked him how much it was, how much they cost or something like that, and it took. He was like, I'll find out for you. And it took him, I don't know, 2 hours. And then he came back to the phone, and I was like, listen, we don't really care that much. Let's just move on to another topic. And B was like, no, I want to know.
My point is, I love Al, and I went on vacation. I didn't specifically go to West Virginia. I was in the D.C. area, but I drove to West Virginia to meet him, took him out to the buffet for lunch, went and hung out at his house, met his mom, had a great time. I thought we'd stay in touch, but he hasn't been returning my calls. But
really?
I mean, the point is that I do require follow up on some of these stories that we talk about.
You should track this woman down.
You absolutely should.
Well, there's no name even given, but maybe there's more information
in
papers
down
there.
Just go to where is it? Buenos Aires.
Buenos Aires. Yeah.
Just go there and start asking around.
I'm sure someone will.
Okay.
Know.
Yeah. And then you can find out. Maybe you can strike up a friendship and take her out, and she'll be yours. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? It is.
That's such a big liar.
I haven't even said anything yet.
Well, our next stop's the Nut Hut.
We have Chris Hardwick, who's going to be on the program today.
Oh, yeah.
He's great.
Yeah.
He does his own podcast. He's on Attack of the Show.
Mm-hmm.
We have This Week in Rage with Adam Carolla on today's program.
Mm.
We have Mike Schultz from the winner X Games.
Cool.
Who lost a leg snowmobiling and then got the sport of snowmobiling, if you lost a leg, into the Winter X Games and destroys at it, just kills everyone.
You know, I don't care for the handicapped, but I will say that I admire this young man and what he's been able to accomplish and how he's really made his mark on the sport.
Yeah. Well, look, how do you think, okay, I just lost my leg in a snowmobile accident, but I can still be in the X Games. I'm
going
to create a sport. I would never think that.
I just need to
that.
Make them change everything.
I would
all right, I'll do that.
I would jump off a building and try to hit a cab before I would do that.
It's what Barack Obama did. He said, I want to be president, but you can't be president if you're a black man, so I'm going to go in there and make it happen. And he did. Same thing.
I think it's a little different.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Surprise family members we're going to talk about today.
Oh, because of Oprah?
Because of Oprah.
Mm-hmm.
I have a half-sister that I didn't know about.
I'm sending her to Australia.
So we're going to talk about that. We've got a new citizen of the day, and the Super Bowl is rapidly approaching. It's a week from Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, there are a lot of different ticket packages and all kinds of stuff that travel agents are selling. But if you want to go stand outside the stadium and watch, I guess they're going to put up some TV screens just so you can kind of be in the area. You're not in the stadium for the Super Bowl. You're outside in the parking lot. $200. That's how much it'll cost
to get a ticket to stand outside.
Yes.
So you get all of the hassle of going to the Super Bowl stadium, all the traffic and security and everything else, but none of the being in the stadium watching the game?
Correct.
Okay.
You stand outside and watch it on a screen.
Sounds like a good deal.
$200. I mean, it's not just like
people will do that.
Wouldn't you think it would be, you know, if they were going to charge, wouldn't you think it would be $20 or something? Just like, and that's a lot.
Yeah,
really,
it is.
Just
$50
stand outside.
Still a lot.
$200. F them. So that's coming up on today's show as well. We'll take a break and we'll come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat. That is. Ooh, double hand clap. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 10 minutes till 6.
Hey, party people, welcome to a Wednesday Kevin and Bean Show. I wasn't going to revisit this, but I'm getting so many emails, I feel like I must mention it. Hey, Ralph Garman, how are you, by the way?
Oh, here, good, thanks.
Dear Bean, you and Kevin are idiots. Ah! Idiots, I say. Portugal is next to Spain, which is in Europe. Yeah. It's not next to Argentina and South America. They are continents and oceans away from each other. Try looking at a map of the world every once in a while. F you, Colby. Okay. It was a joke because Kevin found out that Portugal was in Europe about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Spent his whole life thinking it was in South America.
I was the dumb one. I thought Portugal was in South America, and they mocked me and mocked me and mocked me. So Bean said that, knowing full well that it wasn't true, but he was making fun of me.
And then people take it seriously.
Now people think, I don't know where Portugal is either, and I can't have that. But and Kevin had an extremely legitimate reason to think that Portugal was in South America because they speak Portuguese just like they do in Brazil. That was the confusion, I think. Well, that's where it started, right, Kevin?
No. Yes.
Yeah, that's how it started.
Sure.
But that's what he told us at the time. Anyway, so it was just a joke about Portugal. We're fine. We know where countries are on this show. We're not as dumb as we may appear.
Some of us do.
We don't think it's down in South America with Russia. Come on.
Exactly.
Don't be ridiculous.
Excellent point. Right. It's over there by Israel. We all know that.
Yeah. Right.
All right. Ralph Garman joins us now. It's time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a new Kevin and Bean show for Wednesday. What's going on?
Speaking of emails, I want to say to everyone who sent me the photo of the Sharktopus tattoo that's out there. Thank you very much.
Oh,
I got
you need that.
That.
You
I
need that?
That? No.
So you need people to
Don't
send that to
it.
You?
Oh. Got it. I appreciate it. In fact, that photo was taken at our Miss Double December beauty pageant.
Right.
And we know the girl, the listener who got that tattoo on her thigh of the giant Sharktopus eating the sailing ship.
But you don't have a photo of it yet.
We've got the photo. Apparently went up on like uglytattoos.com and a bunch of other websites. And so people have been saying, oh, look at this. It's a Sharktopus tattoo. I know. I've seen it. I've seen it in person. And if you look closely at that photograph, you'll see I have signed that tattoo in the upper right-hand corner.
But that doesn't mean you have your own photo of it, though.
Right. I do. I have it. I've seen it. I'm good with it.
So if you have it, send that photo to Ralph.
You're missing my point. My point is I have received that. I no longer need any additional emails with that photograph enclosed therein.
So email it if you have it.
Let's take a look at celebrity news. Oh, Ted Williams, the man with the golden voice. OGV. Apparently, Ted Williams has decided that rehab just isn't for him.
Come on.
He's
the luckiest man in the world.
He has checked out of the Origins Recovery Center in South Texas yesterday morning. He checked out. This is less than 2 weeks after Dr. Phil encouraged him to get some help and made arrangements for Ted to go inside to rehab.
Thank God for Dr. Phil, huh?
He really does good work.
Yeah.
So, Ted's out. Apparently, amongst Ted's complaints about the center were that the mini bar was not stocked nearly to his liking.
Could be.
Which I can imagine you get into your room and you want to get a bourbon or something. You go in there and you find.
Is this one of the biggest blown second chances ever? Like,
because it's shaping up to look like that. Yeah.
Let me think. Yes.
It was everywhere. That story was everywhere. And then he got all of these job offers, and he's probably right now back using and back on the street.
But Kevin, you've had this dilemma in your life, usually around 3 o'clock in the morning in Vegas.
I'll never drink again.
The rest of my life. Drinking my job. Drinking my career. Drinking.
He always ends on drinking.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Drinking wins. Living in a pot of us. That's what Ted Williams was thinking when he came out. I'm Nick Cookie. Yes, I have had a good roll bar. I would like some water. So I'm just saying, sometimes you make bad choices in life. Oh, sad news for the many fans of the Fantastic Four. I know I can count Bean amongst those.
Oh, he loves them.
Yeah.
Have they announced who it's going to be?
Marvel Comics has announced that this week they will be killing off the Human Torch. Johnny Storm. Flame on! Of the Fantastic Four.
The flame on was Mike's catchphrase.
He will be killed in a massive battle in Fantastic Four issue 558, which will be apparently the last in the series. So say goodbye to the Human Torch. Sorry, Torch.
Now, Ralph, what's the history of comic book characters being killed off and staying dead?
Oh, staying dead?
Yeah.
Oh, no. That just doesn't happen. They've killed everyone off.
That
they've killed Superman off. They've killed Batman off. They've killed Captain America off. They've killed Spider-Man off. They've killed everyone.
And then they just come back and you thought they were dead, but they weren't? Or somehow they're brought back?
Somehow they're brought back. Or there's always some convoluted story that stretches out over maybe a year or so of issues, and then they have a big welcome home issue, and everyone buys a lot of comic books. So this is
kind of why I thought this was another cheap ploy to sell books.
It is. This is the desperation ploy. When a title is sagging in sales, they will kill somebody that you love off, and then they'll bring them back after a while. But you got to buy all the comic books in between to see how they do it.
Sure.
It's a very effective marketing tool. So fear not, Torch fans. I'm sure he'll be flaming on sometime soon.
It's a pretty specific report for Torch fans.
I want to hit the Torch fans. You know, we got a large contingency of Torch fans out there.
What percentage?
99% of the people who listen to us are Torch fans.
That's bigger than I thought, but all right.
Yeah.
And Kevin, even guys like me who are clearly Thing people, we're still interested in a story like that because it affects our guy.
Wow. Dean's a Thing man.
I'm totally a Thing man.
Yeah. I was always a Invisible Girl fellow myself.
Oh, yeah. Strong.
Yeah, she was hot.
Yeah.
Sue Storm. Who was your favorite Fantastic Four member, Kevin?
I didn't really pay attention to Fantastic Four.
What were you doing when you were a kid?
Throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner.
Yeah, well,
that's all.
I don't think that superpower was covered in the Fantastic Four.
And poorly, by the way. I don't know that I ever hit him. Spent my whole youth doing that.
Hey, Jason Priestley wants you to know it's not always great to be a teen idol.
Aww.
First of all, why is anyone asking Jason Priestley anything? Secondly, he was interviewed by Access Hollywood, and they were talking about the crazy heyday of Beverly Hills 90210, the original series. He said he had to leave the set one day once, because the cops called the set and said someone had just broken into your house, Jason.
Oh, that sucks.
But when he got there, he found an obsessive female fan lying nude in his bed wearing just his Calvin Klein underwear.
Wait, it was a guy?
No, it was a girl.
Oh.
But she was wearing his Calvin
Klein. Oh, his. Oh, I see.
Yeah, wearing his. And she had gone into his underwear drawer, gotten a pair of his underwear and slipped it on and said, oh, I'll just wait for you in bed here, Jason Priestley.
She's fun.
Was she hot?
It does not say
that's
here the
very
level,
important.
Level of attractiveness of the stalker slash breaker and enterer.
Don't you think that's very important?
Not if she's breaking and entering. I don't care how hot she is. If she's broken into my home, that's going to start our relationship off on a sour note.
Right, but how sour depends on how hot.
Yeah, I suppose.
I saw the interview, and he said she was not hot at all.
All right, well, then that's
so
bad.
He seemed very disappointed even to this day.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
I've got Beans there to watch everything all the time, or else how would we know?
I think he does have some sort of news feed that goes right into his head.
He's plugged into the Matrix, man. Yep. I've always said so. Looks like ABC's thinking about canceling Desperate Housewives.
Oh, no. What will I not do on Sunday nights?
I know. According to Us Weekly Magazine, they're considering just ditching the show because they can't come to an agreement with Eva Longoria and the redheaded lesbian and the other one.
Okay.
They want more money. They're making
$400,000
a week. And that they just can't get by on $400,000 a week.
Well, you got to buy food.
They need a significant bump.
You know?
And ABC saying, I don't think maybe we can do this.
Actually, none of them buy food. Pretty skinny.
Yeah, that's true. So, they haven't had a meal in some time. But the good news is there's a fourth season of Jersey Shore ahead.
All right. Yes.
Now, you remember season one was Seaside Heights, New Jersey. That was the original Jersey Shore. A phenomenon was born.
That's when it all started.
Then the second season was, let's take the Guidos and Guidettes and put them in Miami Beach, Florida. Let's take them down to South Beach. And that was a special season. We all learned, we all grew.
Sure.
We loved, we lost, we laughed. Then the third season, the current season, now they're back in Seaside Heights.
Right.
But here's the thing, they need two shows a year. They can't just put it on once a year. So during the summertime, they send them down to film in the Jersey, but they got to go to someplace else during the wintertime.
Right.
MTV has announced they will be sending them to Italy.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh.
Sending them to the homeland.
Oh, no. That's not good.
MTV says the cast is headed to the birthplace of the culture they love and live by. F you. No one in Italy is acting like these retards.
No.
Nobody.
No one. They will beat the hell out of them.
They will look at them with their fake tans and their weird hair and their gym and their laundry and say, what the F is wrong with you people?
They'll hate America if they meet those kids.
Yes, this is ugly Americans is what this is.
American-Italian relations may never recover from this season.
Oh, that's not good.
Shore.
And Ralph, you brought up an excellent point earlier in the week, which is they're now so famous that it's impossible for them to film them out among regular people and get regular reactions anymore because everybody knows who the Jersey Shore is. You send them to Italy, no one's ever heard of them. They got a better shot at blending in, right?
How dare you think no one's ever heard of Snooki in Italy? I'm sure she is she's a cultural icon in Florence and in Turin. Yep. And
when they send them to places like Rome and Florence and stuff, though, it's going to be mostly tourists who are going to recognize them, though. It's not like they're sending them out to the countryside, right, which, you know, won't be interesting.
Wow, that's a terrible idea. Although, they might get beat up, so it's a good idea.
MTV says, we can't wait to see what erupts as a result of this trip. We're guessing mostly herpes blisters.
No, was that the official comment?
They didn't write that part. It's just written here in crayon. I think Lisa May wrote that part.
Wow.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Eddie Van Halen, guitar god Eddie Van Halen. Still shreds at the age of 56 years old, boys and girls.
Totes my goat.
I was never a...
Totes shreds.
He does. I was never a huge fan of Van Halen, but I would see them one time this past tour. And he,
in the reunion tour?
Yeah. He really is a genius.
He is...
He's unbelievable.
If you watched Mozart play piano back in the day or watched Einstein work on a chalkboard figuring out an equation, I think it's a similar experience to watch Eddie Van Halen. You can't follow his hands on a guitar. It looks like it's magic sometimes. Boy, is he good.
And the reports are they're back in the studio with Diamond Dave right now, actually working on an old school album.
Wow.
There you go.
All right. Great news.
Ellen DeGeneres is 53 years old today. Andrew Ridgely of Wham!
Yeah!
Currently pumping gas at 48 years old.
I mean, I could be excited about that, Bean.
It's Andrew Ridgely from Wham!
Right.
That's what we're saying.
He was our point. He was the talented one.
He shouldn't even be on the list.
He's the better driver of the two. I'll give him that.
That's true.
Paul Johansson of One Tree Hill is 47 years old. Sarah Rue, actress who is 32 years old, has lost a ton of weight. She looks good these days. She's 32. And the great one, hockey legend Wayne Gretzky, celebrates his 50th birthday today. 5-0 for the great one. It's been a long time since he's played hockey, but it seems like just yesterday.
He still has almost every record.
Yes, he does.
It's unbelievable.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Coming up in the next half hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph will be here with the Showbiz Beat. Plus, we'll tell you how you can go to the Super Bowl
parking lot
for only $200. Unbelievable. That story in about 10 minutes or so. First, though, time for the Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
Today we have two of them. They involve robbers. Dumb robbers.
Okay.
These Citizen of the Day, they are meant for you to go, wow, you know, I thought I was bad or I'm dumb or I was having a bad life, but compared to that guy, all things are good. This first one comes out of Elmwood Park. There were two guys who broke into a Burger King. They hid in the bathroom, and they waited and they waited and they waited. And then the Burger King staff apparently cleaned up and closed the doors and left to go home. So they were locked in, right? So they now they're the only ones in there. So now they can get the money and they can get it out of the thing. But they trip an alarm, and the police show up. And apparently, the reason that they couldn't get away is that the cab that they had taken to the Burger King didn't wait. It had been more than 30 minutes. So they told the cab, okay, you wait right here. That was their getaway car. Don't you promise you'll wait? Okay. We're going to go in there. We're going to get a bite to eat. And then we'll be right back out. It was their getaway car. So when they came out, there was no cab.
My God. Well, he saw the place closed down.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
That's a super common approach, by the way, with people who hide inside whatever it is, whether it's a Burger King or a Walmart or whatever it is. And you figure, now I got the free rein on the place, you know?
Yeah.
But you gotta raid your getaway car. You got to have that locked up before you do something like that.
And here's another one. This one comes out of England. A burglar was arrested after calling police to say he couldn't get out of the house he had broken into.
It's a house and he couldn't get out?
Correct. Apparently, it had locking doors from the inside and out, so you had to have the key to get out as well.
Wow.
Sweet. Who could have ever predicted that when he broke in?
But John Finch, here's the problem, who's 44, spent 3 days inside the home. And they had a lot of liquor in the house, so he started drinking. They were gone, apparently, on vacation for a while. He knocked back a couple of bottles of whiskey, several bottles of gin, and was wandering around the house like for a while, couldn't find the doors. Just unbelievably drunk that he couldn't figure out how to get out. So he called the police and he said, I can't get out of a house I broke into.
And they said, Kevin?
I don't have a key. Could someone come? Like, let me out. So they showed up and they arrested him for breaking into
the
house.
Awesome.
By the way, in his defense, though, what jackhole has a house that you need a key to get out of?
Look,
there's no way he could have predicted that.
That's his story. But that's his story after drinking bottle after bottle.
Oh, I see.
That's true.
Yeah.
He probably couldn't even find the door. Who knows?
I don't know how the doorknob works.
Where's the door? I can't find the door. So 3 days, by the way. Isn't that crazy? I mean, wouldn't you... Unless he staked it out and saw that they were gone on vacation or something.
Right.
You'd panic at a half hour.
Yeah,
I've been in here too long.
And I got to say, yeah, exactly. You're absolutely right. And I got to say, at that point, he's no longer a burglar. He's a squatter or a renter at that point.
That's
true.
Once
you're in somebody's house for 3 days, you're essentially living there.
But then at some point, you have to go, okay, look, I know this is ridiculous, but I'm going to have to call the police.
I need to get out of here.
I have to get out of the house. So he called the 911 and said, I can't get out of the house I broke into.
And let me ask you this, by the way, and I can't believe we're trying to use logic on this guy because clearly he's not firing all cylinders, but you must be able to open a window.
He broke a window to get in and climbed in.
Does it seem like even if they've locked all the doors from the inside, there should be a way out, right?
I couldn't find a broken window.
Yeah, clearly. He's just drunk the whole time.
You could break another window as well. I mean, there's so much wrong with this story.
Yeah, but he struggles. He definitely struggles.
I guess the idea is if you're going to break into somebody's house, don't drink their liquor. Steal it, but don't drink it.
All right.
Good advice.
It could go very, very poorly.
Now you know, Kevin and Beans... Citizen of the Day.
Hey! Come on, peeps.
All right.
Let's get this together. It's the world famous K-Rock at 6:36.
Every day this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, we talk to another athlete from the Winter X Games, which begin tomorrow in Aspen, Colorado. Later on today, we'll be talking to snowmobiler Mike Schultz, also comedian Chris Hardwick on the program later on today. And this week in Rage with our friend Adam Carolla. It's all coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Guys, I'm going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, congratulations.
Really?
I didn't know. That's great.
Parking lot.
Well, I could do that. It's a parking lot.
$200.
What?
This is the first year, and I've never seen this before, but this is the first year NFL fans will be able to say they went to the Super Bowl, but they're going to show the Super Bowl on a large high-def video screen outside the stadium in the parking lot. So you can still go to the Super Bowl and tell your friends you were at the Super Bowl, but you won't be inside the actual venue.
Well, I think that makes a lot of sense, Kevin, because there's no way else to see the Super Bowl. It's not on television this year, you know.
You still... That's so funny. You still have to go through security, which can be a nightmare in a crowd that size.
Oh, yeah.
And you still have to pay, you know, $9 for beer or whatever it is. But
pay for parking, too.
For $200, four-person limit, minimum, meaning it's $800 more, you can stand in the parking lot at the Super Bowl. I've never seen this before.
Well,
you mean instead of being in a warm, cozy place with a big screen TV?
Correct, yes.
Yeah. I could do that.
They're going to show it on a screen, and you can stand outside the stadium, and the NFL is going to charge you $200 per person.
Now, we've seen other major sporting events, including NBA championship games, where a big screen is erected.
Yes.
I've seen that for the World Cup. There were lots of places that were showing World Cup games on big screens at parks and whatnot.
Never charged.
They were all free.
Yeah.
You could always just come down and watch them if you wanted to be part of a community of people enjoying the game.
Yes.
So we wanted to find out more about this. We asked producer Alex to line somebody up for us. The vice president of NFL marketing is Carl Granger, and
he
joins us.
Sidelines there.
He joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now, Mr. Granger.
Clean that up, please. Just clear that area. All right. Hello.
Hi. Is this Carl Granger?
Yeah. How you doing?
Good.
Carl
thank
Granger
you.
Here. NFL marketing. How are you?
We're good. Thank you.
Ah, great. It's super. It's super to be talking to you because I got a Super Bowl coming up.
Super. Right.
Super Bowl week from Sunday. Right.
From Sunday and a Super Bowl.
Right. We know
the biggest sporting event in all of history.
We know that. All right. Take it easy.
Are you down there in Arlington now at the stadium where the game will be played?
We're right here outside Cowboys Stadium, and I got to tell you, it's very exciting. We're setting up the NFL Party Plaza.
Party Plaza. That's where you could go stand. Okay,
that's right. You come on out. You get to be right in the Super Bowl experience.
That's
right in the heart of it.
That's what we want to talk to you about, is that you're not so much in the heart of
you're
it.
You're in the heart of it.
Well, you're outside of it.
All right, you're like the ventricle of it.
Right.
The aorta of the experience.
Maybe. Okay. It's just odd that you're charging $200 a person to stand outside a stadium.
Are you kidding me? It's the Super Bowl.
Right. We know what it is.
You get to be in the Super Bowl.
But here's the thing. You can watch it on TV for free.
But here, you get to be at the Super Bowl.
But you're not really.
You are. You're right outside of it. You're right on a grassy knoll. You know what I mentioned? Grassy knoll in Dallas.
No.
Especially around the Kennedys.
Right.
Yeah, they get very nervous.
But is part of the thrill that you could actually hear the people inside the stadium cheering when something good happens?
You're part of the experience. You come down. You get the crowd. You get the excitement. You get all of the advantages of being at the Super Bowl for the low, 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 low price of $200.
That's a lot of money, and you're not in it.
It's the low, low, low price of $200.
You have to buy four, by the way. You also get
we want the Dallas Cowboys fans to have first shot at it because this is their home stadium. So we're offering it to Cowboys season ticket holders. You get a minimum of four tickets for $800, and you're at the Super Bowl.
And you get four programs, four scarves.
Yeah, you get scarves.
And a parking pass.
Because you'll need the scarves.
You will. You want to wrap your throat.
Okay, but Mr. Granger, again, Carl Granger, VP of NFL Marketing, this is like the difference between being in a hotel room having sex with a hot chick or being outside the door in the hallway while somebody else is inside the room having sex with a hot chick.
That's,
it's not comparable.
That's the most ridiculous analogy I've ever
heard. It's exactly accurate.
You'll be at the Super Bowl for the low, low price of $200.
But you're not going to be at the Super Bowl.
Listen, if that's too much for you, we got all kinds of packages the NFL's put together this year.
Oh.
Because we love the fans. We love the fans almost as much as we love money. We love the fans.
Okay, so $200 too much.
So if that's too much for you, how would you like to watch the game at Jerry Jones's house for the low price of $100?
Jerry Jones's house. The owner of the Cowboys? You could go to his house?
Well, not that Jerry Jones. But we're very lucky.
What?
That Jerry Jones is a common name. So we found a Jerry Jones in Sandusky, Ohio.
Okay.
He works at the Sandusky Mall there. He's the manager of the Mrs. Field Cookies.
Right.
He will have you at his house. You can watch it at Jerry Jones' house for $100.
Will he have Mrs. Field's cookies?
Yeah!
All right, that's pretty good.
You got a chocolate chip cookie. You got a scarf. We got lots of scarves.
Lots of scarves,
and you can tell your friends, I watched the game at Jerry Jones' house.
Okay.
Now, that also the Super Bowl experience?
Yes, it's super!
Okay, let's say I don't have 100.
How about 95? You got 95 bucks?
Maybe.
We'll give you the Super Bowl bird's eye experience. The bird's eye experience.
Bird's eye.
We put you in a catapult outside the stadium and we shoot you over the Super Bowl.
Okay.
You get to look at it and watch the Super Bowl.
For like two and a half seconds?
Yeah.
How do you land on the other side?
We're working on it.
Okay, all right.
But I promise you it'll be super when you land.
Sure.
It does sound super.
We're thinking
of
having you land on a big pile of scarves. We got a lot of scarves.
It sounds like it.
For 75 bucks, we got the NFL Up Close Player Personnel Package.
Okay, what is that?
Oh, that sounds good.
We will send four Raiders, Oakland Raiders, to your house,
right.
One per quarter.
Okay.
They will break into your home and rob it, but they will give you the update of the score as they're leaving.
I see.
One per quarter. Players to be announced. We don't know which ones it's going to be yet.
So you're saying $75 and then you get robbed.
Well, you hide your most valuable stuff. Don't be crazy about it.
Okay.
But it's a super, super up-close personnel player experience.
Okay.
It gives you a chance to get up close with actual NFL players. I kind of like that.
That's
one.
Right.
I gotta be honest, yeah.
Or if you're a Green Bay fan, if you're a true cheesehead, we've got the cheesehead experience for just $70.
Okay, $70. All
right,
what's
that? That's where we put you nude in a barrel of Velveeta. And put a small screen in front of you and let you watch the Super Bowl from there.
Why would anyone want that?
It's a cheesehead experience.
Right.
It's a Super Bowl for the low, low price of $70.
Okay.
How about the sexy Super Bowl special? You want the sexy Super Bowl? Oh, you guys sound sexy. How about the sexy Super Bowl special?
First of all, we are sexy.
That's what I'm thinking.
And second of all, what is that?
For 50 bucks, you get to watch the game from the home of a woman Ben Roethlisberger has molested.
Wow.
Yeah, for just 50 bucks.
That's a pretty good deal. That's like practically being at the game.
Now, true, you might have a hard time hearing the game over the girl crying on the couch.
Oh, man.
But still, it's there. It's a woman who's been very close to Ben Roethlisberger, whether she said yes to it or not, will be able to host you for the Super Bowl for just the low, low price of $50.
I don't think
it's
I want
to. It's sexy. It's a sexy Super Bowl.
It doesn't sound sexy.
It's very sexy.
It doesn't really sound sexy.
All right. What do you got? How much you got? 25 bucks?
Yeah, like $25.
From 25 bucks, you get to watch the game from the comfort of Jay Cutler's vagina. How about that?
All right, now I'm in.
All right. So
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
I'm eating food.
And it's 6:53.
I have had a granola bar, yes.
Look, I thought that song was longer, that's all. I thought it was longer.
Timer or something, some way you can count down the numbers.
We have a timer.
All right, it's the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to talk about Oprah and all of her...
Oprah, sure.
All of her long-lost, previously unknown relatives that are crawling out of the woodwork, looking for a little piece of hers as she gets ready to go off the air, making sure they get theirs.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that coming up and find out if you have family members you did not know about until you were an adult. Should be interesting. Coming up on the Kevin DeBeat Show. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's happening?
It's on.
What is it?
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Never understood how that was supposed to rhyme, really. Doesn't really work.
It rhymes, but it doesn't make sense.
Glee versus Kings of Leon.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. You know, Kings of Leon famously turned down Glee's request to use one of their songs on the show. They wanted to have the Glee kids sing You Somebody.
Okay.
And Kings of Leon said, no, we're real artists and we don't buy into this thing and this is crap and Glee is bad and we're true musicians and we're not going to let our music be used by some silly TV show.
Which is their right as well.
I suppose.
Yeah.
But bigger stars than Kings of Leon have said and recognized the appeal of being in a big hit that appeals largely to young kids who may not even be familiar with the music and this may turn them onto it. I guess, you know, it's all a matter of perspective. Except if you're Ryan Murphy, creator of Glee.
Uh-oh.
Who talked to the Hollywood Reporter this week and said, F you, Kings of Leon.
Whoa!
He starts the interview by saying, he continues with, they're self-centered assholes.
Dude. Wow.
They missed the big picture. They missed that a seven-year-old kid could see someone close to their own age singing a Kings of Leon song, which will maybe make them want to join a Glee club or pick up a musical instrument. It's like, okay, hate on arts education. You can make fun of Glee all you want, but at its heart, what we really do is turn kids on to music.
Yeah, okay, take it easy, though.
F you, Kings of Leon. Well, Kings of Leon from on Caleb Followill responded, this whole Glee thing is a shock to us. It's gotten out of hand. At the time of the request, we hadn't even seen the show. It came at the end of a record cycle, and we were over-promoting You Somebody. This was never meant as a slap in the face to Glee, or to music education, or to fans of the show. We're not sure where the anger is coming from. We just said no to a license for a TV show, which we do a lot.
That is weird.
F you!
Yeah, that they go off like that?
That's weird.
It's awesome. Meanwhile, Guns N' Roses slash guitarist, guitar slash rather, recently said that he would never let any Guns N' Roses song be used on Glee either. He had a little bit more attitude.
Sure.
Glee is worse than Grease, and Grease is bad enough, he said. Regarding that comment, Ryan Murphy, creator of the show, said, I usually find that people make those comments, their careers are over. They're uneducated and quite stupid.
He's awfully full of himself, isn't
he? Go, Ryan Murphy, go!
Wow.
You know.
Take yourself a little seriously.
Go, R. Murph!
R. Murph?
Yeah, that's what all the kids call him.
I don't think Glee's running out of songs to cover anytime soon. They'll be fine if some want to say, I'll pass.
Right, yeah. But I don't think it helps him to be so bitchy.
No, it doesn't at all.
I also don't think that it's motivating kids to get into music as a whole. Maybe it motivates kids to go into a Glee club, but I doubt Glee is getting kids to like pick up a guitar or like want to play the drums or anything like
that. No, I beg to differ. Because on that show, they do a lot of stuff where there's always like a band of other kids behind them playing instruments and stuff. And any exposure to music, if it turns you onto music, you may sing, but you're also going to want to play and pick up a guitar or drums or something else. I mean, Finn plays drums a lot on that show. I think it really is sort of a cool exposure of kids who may not otherwise get exposed to music through school or through their families to have a chance to get excited about music. It does a nice byproduct of that show, I think.
Right. But it also seems like somebody should have the right to say no, and he shouldn't.
F you.
He shouldn't go crazy.
Leon.
You know, it's not like they're
self-centered assholes.
And they used to be great.
Oh, they used to be good. That's the problem. They used to be good. I hope people aren't judging them by this current record. They used to be good. Elton John's a big Glee fan. He just recorded a duet with Matthew Morrison, who plays Mr. Schuster on that show.
Wow, that's a get.
Matthew Morrison's put an album together. He's releasing it soon.
And oh, you mean it wasn't for Glee?
No, it's for Morrison's record.
Oh, wow.
He's releasing a CD. And nice. He did a mashup of two Elton John songs and asked Elton John if he would join him. And they do a duet on it.
Not interested.
It's Rocket Man and another Elton John song. He did a mashup. So that's pretty cool. Elton John also, by the way, said people keep asking him if he's invited
to the wedding, the royal wedding between Prince William and Kate Middleton.
Sure.
He said, I think because of my relationship with Diana, people automatically think I'm going to be invited, but I'm not invited to the wedding. I would not expect to be invited to the wedding. After all that candle in the wind BS, man, you should be able to be at the wedding.
Really?
You should be invited to the wedding.
He probably doesn't have any relationship with William, though. I mean, William's a little kid when his mother died.
So he doesn't care about his mother? So Prince William doesn't care about his mother because he was little?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying Elton was friends with Princess Diana.
Candle in the wind, bitch.
I get that. He was friends with Princess Diana, but he doesn't have any relationship with the kids. I wouldn't expect him to be at the wedding.
And it's going to be such a small wedding,
you couldn't sit home some douchebag duke who has no relationship with Prince William either and put Elton John at that table instead. Get a little card written out. Elton John, just sit him at that table instead of the Duke of Douchebagistan.
I'm sorry? Where's that guy from?
The Duke of Douchebagistan.
I don't care if he goes
you
or not.
You do care. You honestly care.
I'm just saying, I'm not surprised that he's not invited. That's all.
I am. He should be invited. Candle in the Wind.
Candle in the Wind. That's a good point.
That song was famous, and it made everyone cry for Princess Diana. And if Prince William hates his mother, that's one thing. I don't care about that. But I think Elton John deserves better.
Take it easy.
You know what?
You, Elton John.
You know where else I think he deserves better? In Arkansas.
Why?
The Harps supermarket chain in Arkansas. They've got, like most supermarkets, they've got magazine racks as you go out to the counter there. You know, right, when you're buying your stuff, there's big racks
like
of magazines.
Store?
Grocery store.
Okay.
Yeah, supermarket.
Yep.
Elton John is on the cover of Us Weekly magazine with his partner, David Furness, holding their brand new baby.
Yep, have it at home.
Arkansas's Harps supermarket has put a plastic shield over the cover.
Because there's two gay men on it?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
For the safety of your family. They've put a opaque plastic cover over that stack of magazines so you don't have to be subjected to seeing two men holding a baby.
That's not possible.
It is so possible.
It is not.
There's a photo of it in the news.
That's not possible. It's 2011.
Not in Arkansas, it's not.
Wow!
Arkansas, it's 1811.
They're not kissing.
Nope, they're just...
They're
looking
standing
into
next
the
to
camera,
each other,
liking each other, holding a sweet little baby.
Wow!
For the now, protection of your family, they have covered that up in Arkansas, so okay, you will not turn gay.
First,
if you look at the magazine,
the fear?
You will turn gay.
That's the fear.
That's the truth. It's science in Arkansas. That's Arkansas science, right there.
Let me understand here. Aren't they a family, though? Are we protecting my family from their family?
Yes.
Is that what's happening here?
They're not the right kind of family.
Wow.
Let me tell you, first of all, it's Adam and Eve, okay? Not Adam and Steve.
Oh, that's an excellent point.
I've heard that.
He's rocking.
Look, you can't argue with that.
They haven't they been together for like 25 years
yes,
or something ridiculous like that?
This is crazy. Can we kick Arkansas out of the 50 states?
Oh, only
is that
we
possible?
Could.
According to biblical principles, a marriage is between a man and a woman.
That's okay, right.
Well, there's that.
If it's in the Bible, it's got to be true. Just look, when they found Noah's Ark, they found all those animal skeletons in there, remember?
That's right.
Oh, wait a minute. That never
happened. Oh,
that,
I guess that didn't happen.
That's a story. Real quick email. I know we're running late, but I want to get to this because I really appreciate John writing in. It was very cool. Thought I'd share the story with you. You may find it funny. Turns out Kevin isn't the only K-Rock person now to drive off in a car that isn't his.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Remember when you stole that guy's car?
Nope.
When we were at the St. Patrick's Day party and you drove off in someone else's car from the valet stand?
Don't remember that at all, no.
Yeah.
No memory.
The other day I left my Mercedes at the dealer for a tune-up, and when I came back they told me they accidentally gave the car to someone else. Fast forward 10 minutes, and who do I see pulling into the dealership in my car but Dr. Drew Pinsky?
Oh, my God.
The good doctor was embarrassed about the mix-up and spent a few minutes talking with me before leaving in his actual car. It turned out to be a cool little celebrity encounter for me, and for the rest of my life, I'll be able to say to people, Drew took my Mercedes!
Drew took my Mercedes! Drew took my Mercedes!
Wait a minute.
Yeah!
Come
it's
on
back!
Now.
It's back! The song pun is back!
You people
all fell for it, didn't you? Y'all fell for it. Woo!
Was it true?
Woo! No, it wasn't true. It was a setup for Drew took my Mercedes.
But how did we choose Dude Looks Like a Lady? Did he?
John said with all the talk of Steven Tyler on the American Idol show that's on again tonight, that song's been stuck in his head, and he misses the days of Rock Me Amadeus. He thought he'd start a new trend. with Dude Looks Like a Lady.
Swing and a miss.
John, I love it. I love it. And I encourage all the other listeners to send me in some Dude Looks Like a Lady.
No way.
Or not.
Because not ever. Nothing more fun than...
That was good ones.
Than setting people up for the big body blow.
I'm just disappointed. Body blow. I wanted that to be true.
Hooked to the liver, and he's down.
Body somebody blow. Else to have a take it off in a
nope,
car besides
just you.
Me.
Still right. Just you.
Shoot.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Wayne Gretzky, the great one, is 50 years old today. Andrew Ridgely of Wham turns 48. Sarah Rue, lovely and talented actress, is 32 years old today. Ellen DeGeneres turns 53. And guitar legend Eddie Van Halen is 56. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz...
Hey, thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, looking ahead toward tomorrow, one of our very favorite comedians, Jim Jefferies, is going to be stopping by. We'll catch up with Dr. Drew. You know, we haven't had Drew on since he had the HANA virus or whatever he got when he was on vacation.
Yeah, he was sick. Remember, like a couple of times recently, he was sick 2 times ago. Or something.
He was in the hospital in the West Indies. That's how sick he was. Wow. So we'll talk to Dr. Drew about that. Also, Social Distortion is going to be performing live in our studio tomorrow, and we'll start looking about, start thinking about the Super Bowl with our friend Rich Eisen from NFL Network. That's all tomorrow, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Right now, let's talk about Oprah, who, well, I'm not a huge fan of, but my wife is a worships at the altar.
She's a cult member.
She's a cult member. Yes. And Oprah apparently just found out at the end of last year that she had a stepsister that she was not aware
half
of.
Half-sister.
Half-sister.
Even closer, relative.
Now, what is half-sister? That's a...
You share a parent.
You share one parent.
They have, okay. And in Oprah's case, they have the same mother.
Okay. And this woman was trying to get a hold of her mother, and apparently her mother said she didn't want to be gotten a hold of, so she wouldn't meet her. And then I guess Oprah was talking about her upbringing on the show one day and that she had two... siblings that passed away, and then this woman was like, hey, me too. So they kind of got together, and then she found out at the end of last year, how old is Oprah? 60?
50-something.
50?
In her 50s, right.
Just found out that she had a half-sister. Just found that out. Here's the news story.
So a few months ago, right around Thanksgiving, I found out that I have a half-sister I never knew about. I didn't even know that my mother gave up a baby for adoption in 1963. My sister Patricia is here. Come on out, Patricia.
I have a half sister. Patricia.
Patricia is younger than her.
So she, by 9 years. Yes.
So Oprah was. Wasn't
nine.
She around?
She was
when...
nine.
Yes, this is.
That's
there's
what's so,
many, so
bizarre.
I'm very confused by this story because, now granted, you're nine, you're not paying attention to every intimate detail of your parents' lives, but it seems like you would know and are old enough to realize that your mother is pregnant.
But maybe
at
they
nine?
Were separated
yes.
by that point. Maybe they weren't living together. Maybe she was living with her
oh,
father.
Maybe.
Then her
maybe
mother
so.
Was yeah. living with somebody else, but... She has a half-sister.
So Jimmy why does she always talk like that?
So Jimmy Kimmel said all she has to do now is figure out whether she wants it in one lump sum or she wants to spread it out over her lifetime.
Yeah.
Now, look, many of us either are adopted or know people who are adopted and have heard stories oftentimes about you find out about your quote-unquote real family. And I guess it's not unusual to find out that you have relatives that you're not aware of, but sometimes it is a shock to you. Because, you know, you have a worldview. You think you know everybody who's in your family. And then you get to a certain age and you find out that's not true.
Well, especially if
and it can shake you up.
Yeah, especially if you're close to your parent. You know, you would go, how? Why would you not tell me?
I have a half-sister I didn't know about until I was in my mid-20s.
Really?
And only found out because my brother happened to be at my dad's house looking through something and discovered it. I don't even know if I'd know to this day otherwise.
Really?
Did you get mad at your mom?
No. My dad had been married before my mom, very young, and had a child.
Did your mom know?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, but yeah. And then the woman they divorced, that woman married somebody else and that somebody else adopted the child and that was that.
Oh, I see.
So they were never in touch or anything.
I got you.
But
now,
she's out there somewhere.
Did you have any compulsion whatsoever to meet this person because of the blood relation, Lisa?
I didn't. Is that weird?
No, I don't. I mean, I think people go both ways. There are people who really, it's really important to them to get to know the people because they have a similar bloodline. I don't think those people are even related to you, except for technically.
Yeah,
to me,
that's
I would
I
have.
Felt.
If I found out that my dad had 10 other kids, they wouldn't mean anything to me because
well, no one means anything.
They're not.
To you.
They're not family. As far as I'm concerned, they're not family.
You have one brother. He's not important to you. Of course, that's the case.
We're going to take your calls, by the way. If you found out that you had family members late in life, and we want to find out what that experience was like for you, and if you guys got together, and if you have a relationship now.
Honestly, though, how much does it mess up the whole dynamic of that situation that Oprah is that rich? You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
It just has the dynamic of, wow, I'm related. I'm a half sister to a billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It just seems like it's there's got to be some weirdness there.
I was almost a little bit surprised to see her welcome this sister into her life because she seems so closed off because she is Oprah. You know what I mean? Like I can see, I could have easily seen it going the other way, which is not interested in getting to know this person or
anyone
meeting this person.
Who's that rich, I think, would be like, nope.
Your defenses would be up and you would say, no, this is just somebody else coming after my money.
Yes.
Right.
I don't want to meet my sister.
Tell you who's nervous about this new news is Oprah's girlfriend, Gail King.
Oh.
She's like, oh, that's great that you have a sister. All right, real quick, we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear your stories about family members you didn't know about until you did.
On out, Patricia.
let me read this email to you real quick, though.
I am a Negro.
Well, that's not a Negro. Dear Kevin and Bean, I was listening to the podcast and I heard that on Wednesday's show you'll be talking about family members that you found out about much later in life. I am 44. I have a lot of questions about this dude, but here's what he tells us. I'm 44 and my biological father found two of my sisters and me through Facebook. We found out many, many things that we wish we never knew, including the fact that he has 11 kids in total.
Oh, see, that's my whole thing is it seems like it could go either way and it could be a super negative.
Yeah.
Three older than us, two in Mexico, five younger than us, including a 13-year-old who is living in Arizona. My two sisters have met two of my younger siblings, and they say it's creepy how much like us they are. At first, we did not totally believe him since he's bipolar and a little nuts, but we looked at a series of pictures of her mom in Mexico. In the pictures, the background people are all the same in multiple pictures. We never noticed it before. Who would? While I would love to have a family reunion so that I can identify what of my personality is genetic versus nature, we're waiting for a TLC or some other company to come along and start a Families of Facebook show so we can get a free trip out of it.
That would be interesting.
Hey, I want to get together with my family members, but not until a TV show pays for it and puts us on the air.
If somebody comes on Facebook and says, I want to be your friend because I'm your half-brother or whatever, I'm going deny.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Next.
All right, well, the phone lines are blowing up. A quick break, and then we come back and talk to you. Family members you didn't know about, 1-800-520-1067. We'll be right back on the Kevin. Right now, though, we're talking about Oprah, who apparently is saving all the bombshells for her final season of her syndicated daytime talk show. She revealed this week that she has a half-sister that she never knew about.
So a few months ago, right around Thanksgiving, I found out that I have a half-sister I never knew about. I didn't even know that my mother gave up a baby for adoption in 1963. My sister Patricia is here. Come on out, Patricia.
Patricia, I have a half-sister.
So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you found out late in life you had family members, let's talk to Yolanda. She's on line three. This one's going to be tough to beat. Hey, Yolanda, thanks a lot for calling. Thanks for holding on. What's going on?
Okay, when I was 18, I found out I have seven half-siblings. Five are boys, two are girls, and I found out because my niece told me.
Seven?
Okay, what's the deal? Was this your dad was just a goer, or what happened?
My dad was previously married. Then he married my mom when they were, like, in their late 30s, and then they had me when they were, like, 40, 41.
Right.
And I knew my niece, but as my cousin. I thought she was just my cousin. They said, oh, your cousin, you know, so we'd hang out. She was, like, 3 years younger than me because my half-brother had her, like, at 15.
Right.
So I would hang out, and finally when I was 18, she's like, oh, yeah, so my dad's totally your brother.
My dad's your brother.
And then my dad's like, oh, yeah, you have more. And I was like, what? This whole time I thought I was, like, by myself.
Now, do you get together at holidays and stuff, all of you?
Not really. I talked to like two or three of them once in a while. I still haven't met all of them.
Has it turned out to be a good thing or a bad thing?
It's okay. Like, my life hasn't really changed.
Right. Wow. It's so crazy. You know, like I said earlier, you think you know who your family is, and then you find out it's way, way different. It has to shake up your worldview a little bit. Thank you, Yolanda. We appreciate
the
call.
Thanks.
All right. We're not going to have time for many calls. Which one do you absolutely want to get to here?
I would imagine that line one, I would imagine that Ivan happens a lot.
Okay.
I'd be willing to bet. Hi, Ivan.
Hey, what's going on, Kevin and Bean?
What happened to you? What'd you find out?
Lisa May, the things I would do to you.
Hello, Ivan.
Hey, you'll get your chance, man. There's a sign-up sheet down at Staples Center.
Wait, I'm there. Anyways, my mom the whole time was telling me how big of a douchebag my dad was and kind of spitting on his grave and... Mm-hmm. He supposedly died in the Vietnam War and stuff. And
So I kind of went through life with a stepdad who wasn't a very nice guy. And later on, I just decided, you know, I'm going to start looking into some of the veteran sites and see if I can find my dad and see a little history about him, you know. And I couldn't find him anywhere on any veteran sites or anything. And so I decided to start, you know, looking online, you know, the people finder and all that stuff. And I ended up finding him in New Mexico, his hometown. And he's very well alive.
Very alive? Yeah.
Very alive.
I can imagine that if parents split and mom doesn't want you to have anything to do with dad.
Thinks he's a bad guy,
yeah,
maybe.
I can see that she would like, especially if you're super young when it happens. I can see her lying about that.
Exactly.
But wow, what a shocker that he's still alive. And
yeah.
Now, do you have a relationship with him now?
You know, I just found out about a year ago, so I haven't had a chance to go visit him. But yeah, we email all the time. I'm, you know, finding some new uncles and aunts. And
wow.
How about that? Interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a little peace of mind, you know, because you're growing up your whole life and you're thinking your dad's like this horrible guy, you know, and you know nothing about him. So you have like this thing inside of you that's, you know, it's real negative, you know. But
right.
Now all of a sudden, like, you got all this positive energy that's going on.
Well, and then, I mean, he's going to turn out to be a serial killer, and then it's right back to negative.
I'm glad it's working out for you so far, though. Thank you very much for the call. Let's try Nicole. She's on line 7. She met a half-sister and found out something very interesting about her life. Hi, Nicole. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Tell us your story.
Hi. So my dad was learning to play chess with his neighbor that lived 2 doors down, and he goes, oh, let me introduce you to my wife. So he introduces her to his wife, and the wife looked at him and realized they had slept together when they were teenagers.
All right.
And that she probably was, that was, he was probably the dad of her daughter. So it turns out my half-sister had been searching for her dad for 5 years.
Wow.
And they DNA tested my dad, and my dad wanted nothing to do with her. So she got a private investigator, found my mother, sent a package, and about 5 years ago we got a package in the mail that said, here's pictures of me, and I am wondering if I have any siblings. And so she has 3 sisters, or 4 sisters she didn't know about.
How about that? That turned out to be good or bad?
Yeah, and my dad still doesn't want to have anything to do with her, but now we talk, and our lives are totally parallel. We grew up in the same town.
Wow, that's weird.
Wow. We all grew up in Huntington Beach. She's 5 years older than me.
Y'all spent time in jail. Same thing.
We went to the same high school. We worked at the same hospital. We were actually going to the same college, but
that's
all 5
unbelievable.
Years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I wonder if you had ever met each other. I wonder if you at some point, you know, during a day years ago met each other and didn't even realize that you were looking at half sisters.
The crazy part is my dad had actually helped her because she has 4 sons. Helped her up the stairs of the apartment complex he lives at because she had like a stroller and a bunch of stuff in her hand.
And didn't know?
Did so.
Wow.
How about that?
Cool.
Wow.
All right. Thank
Fascinating.
You.
Thank you very much. All right. We're out of time.
One more, though. We got to go to Dave because he's the winner.
Okay.
Oh,
Dave's
yeah.
the winner.
I mean, look at Dave. Dave, you found out what?
I found out, I'm 40 years old. I found out like 3 years ago that I have 10 siblings living on the East Coast.
Damn.
10 siblings.
I would like to be excited about your story, except for Mary Lou's email, who found out she has 13 siblings that she didn't know anything about.
She smoked you, Dave.
Oh,
you lose.
Hey, thanks a lot for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show today. Our friend Psycho Mike, who you hear mumbling in the back of the room most days and is also the co-host of the nationally syndicated Loveline show, is going to be leaving to go to New York tomorrow. Friday, he's sitting in Regis Philbin's chair on the Live with Regis and Kelly show.
Yeah.
He's one of the 5 men of radio, and they're saving you for the last day, Mike.
Yeah.
So you've had the luxury of being able to watch some of the other radio yahoos sit in that chair and evaluate how they're doing. How do you feel your performance is going to stack up compared to theirs?
Probably pretty bad. And at first I thought...
that show blows, right? I mean,
it's an awesome show.
We were watching it this week because Mike's going to be on it. I don't watch the Regis show ever, but they had a special hat day, like 2 segments worth of cool hats.
I don't think that it fits the same demo
right.
that you fall into.
Correct. Yeah. South Park, my favorite TV show ever,
right.
Tosh.0.
Right.
So this show, not really for me.
If you were to make a Venn diagram of, say, Tosh.0 viewers and Regis and Kelly,
right.
I don't think there would be a big section in the middle where they both, you know.
I think
although,
there'd be zero.
Yeah. I'm there. You got at least
just
one.
You.
I love both
But
of
you
those
throw
shows.
Every curve off, so you can't count.
So Mike is going to be hosting. So that'll be for most people listening to this show, that's going to be Friday at 9 a.m. That's what time Regis airs on the West Coast. And he's going to be sitting down there with Kelly. And who are your special guests that you're going to be interviewing on Friday's show, Michael?
Well, Brooke Shields and musical tour de force Bryan Adams. And I said Bryan.
Bryan Adams?
I said Bryan.
There's a B at the beginning of that? The dude from Canada?
Yeah.
And are you starting to sweat? Are you starting to think about, hey, how am I going to pull this off? How am I going to make this interesting? How am I going to not embarrass myself?
I am. I'm not starting to sweat on, like, how am I going to pull this off? Like, because, like Kevin said, they're doing Special Hat Day. I'm not asked to.
I wish you would have had to do Special Hat Day.
I'm not being asked to host Meet the Press. So I'm not stressed out in that sense. Like, the it's going to be overwhelming from a broadcasting standpoint.
Right.
But I am starting to, like, sense the weight of being on live national television.
Starting to get butterflies and stuff.
And I want to do a good job. You know, I do.
And you want to end up having sex with Kelly.
That is correct.
I mean, that's really the goal. Why else do it?
Yeah.
Well, I've got great news for you. We have somebody on the phone, Mike, who I think is going to make you feel a little bit better about the job on Friday, because he has great advice for you, because he's the man who's been sitting in that chair for 28 years. The great Regis Philbin joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Reg.
Kevin and Bean.
How are you?
How are you guys?
We're good, thank you.
Well, it's great to talk to you.
So you heard the discussion we were having about Psycho Mike. He's moving into your territory on Friday.
Yeah, I quit.
You're right. You're leaving the show.
Yeah,
right.
I quit the show.
Uh-huh. Yes.
They said, oh, you're too old, Reg. You're too expensive, Reg. And I said, I'll tell you what. Get some radio guys on there, and you'll miss me.
Well, it's very possible.
They're bringing on duct tape and the spork. And the rest of these radio yahoos.
I wish I would have seen duct tape and the spork.
And they're going to miss Reg when he's gone. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Mike has a lot of hosting experience. Of course, as I mentioned, Regis, he hosts the Love Line show.
Crap.
And what?
It's crap.
It is crap.
Oh, you don't care for that. So he knows something about hosting and keeping a show moving and interviewing guests. But
have you heard his show?
No, I actually never listened to it.
Then you wouldn't say that.
Yeah. Okay. He doesn't know a lot about keeping things moving.
Is there anything special that you can help him understand or something that he needs to know about Friday's
appearance?
Of course
I can. I'm happy to help the kid.
All right.
Do what I do just before you step out on the stage.
All right.
Grab one of Kelly's boobs. She loves it.
Really?
Oh, she can't get enough of it.
She thinks
it's hilarious.
That sounds improbable.
Do it!
Okay.
Sounds like a setup, like he'll get arrested or something.
No,
if he does
it'll
that.
Be hilarious.
It doesn't
he
look like
it.
You're taking notes here.
No,
Mike.
You are, okay. Are you serious, Regis?
When you talk to Gelman, the producer, work in Jew as often as you can.
Is that right?
Yeah. Gelman, Jew eat? You have to ask him about breakfast. Gelman, you're looking great today.
I've never heard you do that.
No, I do it all the time.
Okay.
It's hilarious.
Oh, really? Okay.
The people love it.
They love it. Okay.
When you're talking to Kelly, talk about her husband being Mexican.
Okay.
Yeah. Is he lazy in bed, too?
Oh, come on, Regis.
No, she loves it. She thinks
it's
hilarious.
Come on.
Oh, he'll have a long career on that show if he does that.
Make fun of Mark Consuelos being Mexican.
All right. Make fun of the audience.
Mike's Mexican, too. Wait, what? Make fun of the audience.
The lady in the front row is so old, she farts dust.
Really? Okay. You want him to do that? That's a good idea?
Yeah. And when you give out the prizes, say, you're winning a cruise from the Blizzard Blitz. Not! And then take the prize back.
Well, it sounds like you're screwing with everybody on the show
and
in the audience.
And then grab Kelly's boob again.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Grab everything with boob grabbing?
Yeah.
All right.
She loves it. And that'll keep you on the show.
Okay. All right.
And then they'll miss Reach and call me back.
I see. That's what this is about.
And
give me
more money.
I see. I got you.
Good luck with that, Regis.
All right.
Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage. Coming up next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, plus The Nerdist, as he calls himself. Actor, comedian Chris Hardwick joins us after the top of the hour. Right now, Ralph Garman is here for a Wednesday look at the showbiz beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Speaking of people who call themselves things, is Dave still calling himself the Mexicutioner?
Yes, he is.
Yes.
He's sticking with it, yeah.
He is.
He doesn't deserve that name.
He doesn't deserve it at all. There was a fighter in the UFC on a Saturday night. And the thing for the troops that fought, and he was named.
But Dave says that the guy lost,
right.
So therefore the title's up for grabs.
That's not how it works.
Now he could be the executioner.
The guy could be 0-11 and still be the executioner.
I think we should call Dave Mexlax when it's hard to get things going.
All right.
Call in Mexlax.
I like it. Better.
Is that better than the executioner?
He's not a executioner.
No, he is not.
In no way.
No. Let me give away some passes I have for the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Sanctum. From executive producer, what's his name? James Cameron.
James Cameron.
The man who brought you Avatar. comes another epic 3D adventure. This one's underwater and in caves and whatnot, and looks awesome. I'm not a big cave-dwelling movie guy.
Here's my thing.
I suffer from a touch of the claustrophobia.
Yeah.
And it's not a comfortable experience for me to watch people trapped in caves and or underwater.
It's dark and you don't know what's in there, so don't go.
That's my take on it, yeah. But if you're bolder than I am, you can see the advanced screening of Sanctum February the 2nd. It's in theaters everywhere Friday, the February the 4th. So the first five callers right now, 1-800-520-1067, will get a pair of passes to see our special advanced screening of Sanctum.
3D. Are you the guy that directed The Abyss?
Yes.
That's pretty interesting.
3D looks amazing, by the way. So, you know, James Cameron, he invented a new system for filming in 3D, right. So this guy knows what he's doing. Let's talk about showbiz news a little bit, shall we? Troy Aikman and his wife, Rhoda, are splitting up. Yes.
You hear that name very often.
I know. Unless you're watching an old Mary Tyler Moore rerun, you rarely run across a Rhoda. But Troy and his wife of 10 years are separating. They've got two daughters, Jordan and Alexa. Who's 10 and who's 9. Jordan's 10, Alexa's 9. And I'm sorry, it's Rhonda. It's not Rhoda, it's Rhonda. This is a misspelling in the beginning of the story, and then they correct themselves later on in the story.
She's way hot, by the way. Have you seen her picture?
She is very hot.
Way hot.
Yeah.
You have to be way hot if you're named Rhonda.
And if you're an NFL wife, I think there's also a rule that you have to be hot. Rhonda said she recently discovered that Troy was a quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys.
Really? And that was it?
That was it. That was the deal breaker.
She didn't realize that.
She could no longer participate in that marriage. So I feel bad for her. This is an interesting story. I did not know this, but David Bowie's son is an up-and-coming film director.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Duncan Jones.
I didn't know that either.
And if that throws you, because David Bowie's got a kid named Jones, that David Bowie's real name is David Jones. And in the 60s, when he was coming up in the music industry, he had to change his name because Davy Jones of the Monkees was so popular.
Really?
That he had to change his name to David something else, and he picked Bowie. So Duncan Jones apparently is a movie director who had the chance, he claims, to direct the new Superman movie and passed on it.
Yeah, no thanks.
And the new Judge Dredd comic book movie and passed on that.
Wow. Why is he passing? I've never seen anything he's done.
Well, Dad's rich, and he doesn't need to work, I'm guessing, so he can hold out and just do what he wants. I've never seen anything he's done either.
I saw Moon that he did last year.
Did you see that
black and white movie Moon? We talked about a little bit on the show.
No.
Super, super good.
Did you ask Kevin if he had seen a black and white movie?
Is it a black and white movie about the moon?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, no.
No. David Bowie said that he is disappointed his son missed out on opportunities to direct two big blockbusters.
Sure.
Because, as he says here in the interview, my son is a great director. Here's a little piece of the interview tape.
My son's a great director. My son's a great director. My son's a great director. He's a really good director. My son could have directed Superman.
Right.
My son could have directed Judge Dredd. My son's a good director. A really, really good director.
He has a high opinion of his son's...
My son's a great director. Making movies, great director. He's a really good director. He's a guy who's a good director.
Got it.
My son's a good director.
His faith in his son's talent.
My son's a good director. My son's a good director. A really good movie director.
All right, we understand.
Movie director, director.
Okay.
My son's a really good director.
Right.
He's a really good director. I think he's a good director.
I think we got that.
He's just okay, but give him a job. He needs a job. I'm tired of paying his rent. He needs a job.
But he's not that good.
Please give him a job.
Apparently.
I'm running out of money supporting him.
He's not a good director.
The truth came out there towards the end.
No kidding.
Wow.
And Miley Cyrus. Remember the bong that she smoked the salvia out of?
Sure.
Yeah, it was good times.
It was a good bong.
Yeah, she was nuts in that video. The guy who owns the bong has put it up for auction, and apparently he's got a buyer.
Come on.
Yes.
Miley Cyrus had her mouth on this?
Yes, exactly.
That's what she said.
Miley had a bong, and this is it. Wouldn't you like to own Miley's bong? Put it up for auction, and apparently, according to the London Sun tabloid, the buyer who has chosen not to identify himself is dropping. How much do you think it's going for, Miley's bong?
Oh, it can't be more than $5,000.
Miley's bong has sold for $69,000.
Bong.
Oh, my God. That's ridiculous.
Congratulations to the guy who owns Miley's bong.
Bong.
So apparently,
wow.
He's making a couple bucks. It ain't too shabby.
69.
Oh, I wish a celebrity would suck on my bong.
Hey, what?
So I could sell it. Not my bong. Oh, my water pipe. That's what I think. I actually said it.
I didn't understand.
Bong.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Sarah Rue, a very talented actress, who's much thinner now. I don't know. She's a spokesperson for one of those weight loss deals. Weight Watchers or something?
Is she?
She's lost a ton of weight. She looks great. 32 years old. Andrew Ridgely of Wham! Celebrates his 48th birthday today. How bitter is Andrew Ridgely?
Well, I don't know, but, I mean, George Michael went on to have a career.
That's what I'm saying. He's he was the Wham left behind.
He had the option.
Did he?
Well, I don't know. Everyone does.
I guess. But then he sees his ex-partner have the world at his feet, and then he sees him smoking away and fall asleep behind the wheel of cars and just grope guys in bathrooms and stuff and just pee it all
just
away.
Rarely.
I don't know whether he's bitter and sad that he doesn't have any of that or if he's just grateful for the ride that he did have for 3 or 4 years when George Michael was writing and singing all the songs.
Yeah. No,
he was kind of lucky to go along with
him. People love being a has-been. They love having had 2 or 3 years of success and then not working again. Nothing makes people more satisfied.
But I'd say at least he had that.
Right.
Most people don't even get that. Most people don't get to latch on to George Michael for 4 years and make money.
You're right. Has-beens are always happy about the time where they were.
Thrilled.
Remember how happy Gary Coleman was that he used to be Arnold on Different Strokes, and he had to work as a security guard.
He
was giddy about that time of his life.
And look how happy he is today. Look where he ended up.
Oh, wait.
The great one, Wayne Gretzky's 50 years old today. Ellen DeGeneres is 53, and Eddie Van Halen celebrates his 56th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show with
Hey, party people. Thanks for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show. Adam Carolla later this hour, This Week in Rage. First, though, 1.3 million Twitter followers strong. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the Nerdist. Chris Hardwick joins us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, gentlemen.
That's astonishing, by the way. When you start getting into, you know, where you are and Weird Al and Dr. Drew, you guys are like in the 1.5, 2 million. I mean, you literally could start a revolution in this country if you just put the word out to your followers.
Yeah, except that people don't want to do anything meaningful. Like, whenever you post some sort of a tweet, you're like, oh, look at this charity thing, or here's a promotional thing. And like, four people go, but then you
whatever.
Put like, hey, here's a picture of a duck farting on a baby. Like, hundreds of thousands of people. So it doesn't, you know, it's like you have this magic power, but it's only good for like douchey things. Like you can't focus the laser the way you want it to.
All right, that's all right. Douchey power is as good as any.
You remember Greatest American Hero? It's like you have the suit, but you lost the instructions. You can't make it work.
Well, the reason Chris is here today is a very exciting event that I guess it's been going on for a while.
It's the 10th year.
Yeah. 10th year, yet I don't know how I have missed out on the San Francisco Sketch Fest.
Yes, sir.
But it is happening now through February 5th. And give people an overview of what this is all about, because this is, if you love comedy and movies and music, man, this sounds like the place to be.
Well, it started 10 years ago. My current girlfriend sounds terrible.
Yeah.
That didn't come out right.
About that when you get home.
Today's girlfriend.
Okay, clearly not going to be my girlfriend tomorrow after this interview. So my girlfriend now, like 10 years ago, she and two of her friends, got 6 sketch groups together in San Francisco, just sort of an excuse to, you know, just perform and have a unified comedy festival. And then it's grown in the last 10 years. And, you know, they had Conan O'Brien last year, and they've done Kids in the Hall reuniting and Reno 911. And this year it's I'm doing my podcast with Zach Galifianakis as the guest, and they've got Danny DeVito moderating a panel with James L. Brooks and Candace Bergen and Gary Shandling, and I'm going to moderate the Zucker Brothers and show Airplane, and Doug Benson's going to be there. It's going to be a good – the lineup is incredible. They do like 100 shows in 3 weeks.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So this is like, you know, you go to Austin for South by Southwest, and it's 5 bands a night in every club. That's what it's like in San Francisco this month for the sort of thing that you're talking about.
San Francisco
just
is
everywhere.
Packed to the gills with comedy.
All right, so you are going to be, I guess the easiest thing would just be to send people either to your site at Nerdist.com or to sfsketchfest.com for a complete lineup of everywhere where, you know, everything that's going on in the town. Now, yes. when you say you moderate Airplane, so the mm-hmm. Zucker brothers are there, you show the movie and then just talk about what it was like to make it?
And Robert Hayes is going to be there too.
Oh, awesome.
So we'll watch the movie together, and then afterwards, you know, I'll ask a lot of, so what was it like when you, and try not to quote their movie back at them, which is
impossible.
Impossible. Yeah. But I'm looking forward to it. So
can you get Leslie Nielsen? Are you that powerful or no?
Yes, we're going to exhume him. Too soon.
Probably too soon. Yeah. It was too soon for the question even. I gotta be honest.
We're all on the same page. We are all on the same page.
Have you interviewed Zach Galifianakis before, Chris?
Yeah, actually I just hung out with Zach last night.
What?
Well, we've been in the LA comedy community for like 11 years. So
I love him so much.
Yeah,
I do too.
He's great.
He just seems, look, we adore him. We've never been able to get him on this show, and I don't know why that is, except he has better taste than we give him credit for. But he seems like the kind of guy who would be tough to interview. That's why I asked you that question, because he's, you know, kind of operates at his own pace a little bit, and he seems like he would be bored quickly with any kind of conventional questioning.
He might, yeah. I mean, I don't know if I've ever had a real conversation with him. I went over to England in 2001, and he was shooting a movie, and we went out one night. This was back in the drinking days.
Sure.
So this is one of the reasons why I don't drink anymore. Zach was hanging out with a bunch of super famous British actors, and I tagged along. We went to this British speakeasy, and Bjork was there, and I was so drunk, I got it in my head that I was going to ask her to dance.
Well, you have to take advantage of that opportunity.
You have to.
Bjork's
because,
there.
Yeah, but you have to try to trap her. She's like a weird little Nordic fairy, you know? Like, if you trap her, then you get a wish. And so I tried.
I didn't know that's how it worked, but okay.
Yeah, that's how it works. And I went to, I tapped her on the shoulder, and I was like, would you like to? And then she immediately looked me in the eye and walked the other way.
All right!
And so we went back to the hotel, and somewhere Zach has a videotape of me being, like, drunk. So, I unsuccessfully tried to hit on Bjork tonight.
Actually. Look, this is what you avoided.
With our fingers, we make million holes.
I'm saying you win. I'm saying you win because
win?
She walked away. She stays and dances, you lose.
Yes.
There have to be so many things, especially in the comedy world and the circles that you guys run in, that are just like that, which are kind of fuzzy memories of something that sounds like it couldn't have really happened but did, and you have to just pinch yourself sometimes or look back and go, what a weird life I have.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, that's the kind of thing where I go, I had the weirdest dream. I was in England, and I got drunk and tried to hit on Bjork. I'm like, no, that happened. That happened for realsies.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's awesome. The San Francisco Sketch Fest is going on now through February 5th. Chris has at least four appearances, including Tig Has Friends, by the way. That Tig is funny,
Tig
by the
Notaro
way.
Is awesome.
Yeah, hilarious. I love her. That's going to be January 28th, which is this week, by the way, at the Cobbs Comedy Club. Then you're going to be doing your Nerdist podcast live with Zach, also at Cobbs, that same night. And then you've got what's happening on the music night on January 29th? Do you know what that's all about?
Yeah, I'm hosting the music. There's two music shows, and it's my best friend Mike Furman, who's half a Hard and Firm, Garfunkel and Oates.
They're so funny.
Yes, David Koechner, this guy named Eli Braden, and then another guy named Zach Selwyn. And we're all just, you know, just like doing music.
But it's all comedy.
It's comedy. It's comedy music. It's not a dirty word anymore, music comedy. There used to be a time where it was
right.
Like, oh, there's a comic has a guitar.
He's going, no.
He's got to go.
And then the tribute to Airplane is going to be at the beautiful Castro Theater, and that's going to be on January 31st on Monday. So you can get all the information at sfsketchfest.com or nerdist.com. More with our guest, Chris Hardwick, right after this on the Kevin. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, looking ahead toward tomorrow's program, we got a huge show for you tomorrow, including winner X Game athlete Scotty Lego. He's going to be here. Of course, a snowboarder and Olympian. Jim Jefferies, funny man Jim Jefferies, going to be back on the program tomorrow. We'll catch up with Dr. Drew. Social Distortion in studio performing live for us.
Wow.
And we'll talk all things Super Bowl with Rich Eisen from the NFL Network.
That sounds like a better show than today. I got to be honest.
I agree. I think we're kind of sloughing it today. That's why we invited funny man Chris Hardwick to stop on by.
Tomorrow sounds way more awesome.
He is on stage at the San Francisco Sketch Fest. He's all over the place. Go to sfsketchfest.com for information and to buy your tickets, or nerdist.com. Now, speaking of nerdist.com, I have to ask you, because we've been talking about this off the air but have not had a chance to discuss it on the air, and you put up a blog post this morning, I guess, about the hot new trend in drugs, which is snorting bath salts.
Yes, a girl who guest blogs for me by the name of Anjanette Carter put it up, and I don't know why. I mean, listen, when I was a kid, I did one time snort a pixie stick just because I thought it would be funny. It was the worst thing I've ever done in my life, blasting sugar into your nasal membranes.
And not the right sugar.
Not the right kind of sugar.
Right.
The bun cup at 7-Eleven sugar. But the bath salts, why would you shoot salt into your body?
Who is the first person that thought of it? I want to know that. And then it's also super dangerous for you, isn't it? I mean, doesn't it, like, F you up?
Yes, of course it does. It's salt. It's salt. It's gonna naturally corrode or burn your tissue.
God.
Now, is Psycho Mike in there? I can't see
He's
him.
Not.
Is he? Oh, well, that's unfortunate. Because Psycho Mike read a story that I did not see about somebody who just went berserk over the bath salts, right?
All right, Mike is in the studio. Go over there on the headphones, Mike.
Get him to jump on here. Because apparently, I mean, you look at this as being harmless. Okay, I'm a kid and I don't have access to get anything else cool, so I'm going to try bath salts because I think it might be fun. But what happened to the one person you read about, Mike?
Oh, I mean, it's nothing really. He carved his face off. And he cut his guts out. But, I mean, nothing major.
But other than that, everything else
still
works.
So he did that, and then he took a knife to his own face.
Yeah, he snorted some bath salts and then took a paring knife and carved his face.
There's
and then
no proof
started,
those two events were related.
He started he carved his face off, then he tore his guts out, and then his friends stopped him. And they're like, you know, this might be too far.
Hey, you might be going too far. Stop now.
This is going to explain the increase in tweaker traffic at Bed Bath & Beyond.
Probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
Apparently, according to the article on your website, apparently they call it riding the ivory wave.
Riding the why not give it a name? Yeah.
There really are other ways to get high, people.
But what if you don't have access to anything else? Remember last year, I think it was last year, maybe the year before by now, where we were talking to people who had tried the vodka eyeballing. Remember, that was the hot thing for a while. It's not fast enough to drink it anymore. Now you have to shoot it into your eyeballs. And we found people who had done that.
People were going blind. Remember, they were going blind.
I don't know why. I remember hearing stories from the 70s about how people's noses would get so destroyed from doing cocaine that they had to shoot it into their butts.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, that's fine.
But that makes sense because you did it the only way, like, until you couldn't do it anymore.
That's right. Last resort.
Right. Now, vodka, you can still drink, and it really gets you drunk pretty quickly.
Kids, you don't need to drink with your eyes.
Right.
I think if there's anything we've established, your eyes are not for drinking.
It's so stupid.
Mike, how about you, though, your early drug-fueled days? I imagine you tried lots of stuff. Chris said that he snorted pixie sticks, but did you ever try anything like household supplies or something?
A ton of times we would crush up like truck stop speed pills, you know, like ephedra and stuff like that, and we'd snort those. But the craziest thing we ever did is, and this is all when you're restricted of actual drugs. You do whatever you can.
They force you to get creative.
So we went into the Huntington Library, which is like a art museum slash like a botanical garden here in Southern California. And we went got encyclopedias and tried to find the type of cactus that makes peyote. And we found out they had it there. And we stole one. We actually chopped it with a machete from the Huntington Library and then put it in a food dehydrator and ate it.
That is... surprisingly creative.
It is. Did it work?
No, we got violently ill. We were debating whether or not to tell our parents to have them take us to the emergency room. We were that sick. It was.
Oh my god!
That's too bad after all that work.
Yeah.
Well, we gotta find somebody to snort the bath salts.
No,
that's
we don't. That's stupid. Listen, we just need to take calls. We can do this maybe tomorrow from people who have. I'm sure they're out there.
Does Huntington Gardens have a psychotropic plant section?
That's a good question.
You could walk through all the different environments.
It's right between the Japanese garden and the English lily fairy.
Like, they just painted all psychedelic. Like the trees are pink and there's weird creatures. That would be awesome.
This has been very educational today. I'm glad we had a chance to talk about that.
Sure.
All right. So you're heading up to San Francisco, I imagine, today, tomorrow, something like that?
My current girlfriend, Janet Varney. I'm going to get so much crap for that.
No, current's a good word to use.
I didn't mean that. Like,
girls love that.
And there's another one right around the corner.
They're lined up.
We were not together when she started the festival with her two friends, Dave and Cole. That's all I meant.
I still introduce my wife as my current wife, by the way, and I still think it's hilarious, and she still does it. So it's fairly interesting.
You would think that it would get funny after a while.
Yes.
Like, you're like, listen, because that's what comics do. They're like, okay, it's not not funny the first time. By the 11th time, it's going to be hilarious.
But if you're with Bean, like, he's done it now 400 times.
So she's just
so
like,
now that it becomes not funny again.
Okay.
Yeah, he's past that
San
stage.
Francisco Sketchfest going on now through February 5th. 8 local venues, all sorts of clubs and theaters all over the city, including the Cobbs Comedy Club and the Castro Theater, where Chris Hardwick will be making appearances. Details at sfsketchfest.com or nerdist.com. Yes, and sir. Check out Chris's hilarious podcast. He really does get the best guests. Craig Ferguson, that was a hilarious episode.
Oh, thanks, I mean, man.
You really are doing a great job with the podcast. It's a lot of fun to listen to.
Thank you.
And,
you should get Zach Galifianakis. That would be great.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to have him.
What?
Oh, I just met Edgar Wright last night. He said he'd come on. I almost crapped in my nerd pants.
Oh, that's strong, too.
Yeah.
Is it nerd crap or just nerd pants?
Nerd pants. The nerd crap.
All right, I don't know.
It's very special.
I don't know how it works.
It's got the utility belt. Yes, I'm sorry.
Thanks for coming in. Good
thanks,
to see
guys.
You.
Thanks, guys. Deny
my dear. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 8:38.
Do you hate Mumford or the Sons or both? I can't get a read on how you feel about that band. You're so quiet when they come on. I can't tell what you mean.
I know I'm in the minority, but that just sounds like folk music to me, and it makes me want to throw up.
It sounds like awesome music.
I know.
Is what it sounds
to
like.
To you and most of our listeners.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, where each week we talk to our friend Adam Carolla. You can see him on stage at the Uptown Theater in Napa on February 4th, on the 5th at the Nugget in Reno, and just announced February 11th at the Borderline in Thousand Oaks. Ace Man, how are you, man?
Yeah, get it on.
Get it on. Time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting at number 3, and you guys there?
Yeah, we're here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right here, buddy.
Dropped out. Started at 3, working down to number 1, all the things that pissed me off this week. Number 3, Dr. Drew, the man is on death's doorstep. You hear about this?
He is about to die, isn't he?
Yeah, I went and visited him. Actually owed me some money. I just want to get there before, you know.
Right.
God forbid. God forbid. Yeah, you know.
You don't want to have to fight it out for your peace with all the family members after he's gone.
Plus, you know, when people are grieving, hitting them up.
Right, it's rough.
For $30,
it's unseemly.
It doesn't seem appropriate.
No, but it is worth it for $30 for you to do a hospital visit.
He's 2 miles from where I live.
All
what's
right.
that? $4 in gas? The point is this. The man got very ill, and you know why he got very ill?
No.
Because he went on a second honeymoon, and God struck him down.
Oh, there you go.
It is one honeymoon per bitch. That's the way it works.
How do you know it was God that struck him down?
Yeah. I tell him, well, because he's punishing him.
Okay.
You don't get 2 honeymoons. You don't get 2 marriages unless you get a new woman. And you only get 1 divorce. That's the whole thing. I tell my wife, I'll go on a second honeymoon, not with you. That'll be the next one.
As soon as I meet another wife.
Right. And one day, I'll go on a second honeymoon with somebody else, but it won't be her. And so it goes. That's the way God wants it.
I didn't realize that. It's good to know.
I think, by the way, I think you're absolutely right, Ace Man. And I think that second honeymoons, just like a renewing our wedding vows, is an evil thing that women have come up with that somehow has been allowed to flourish in recent years, and you're the man to put a stop to both.
Well, I think we've learned from Dr. Drew, almost meeting his maker, that this would be a horrible idea for any of your listeners.
Yeah, that's true.
So he went there, he was struck down, and now he's back, probably to do the Lord's work, but the point is, no second honeymoons, unless it's with a new gal, in which case it's always a first honeymoon.
All right.
All right, gotcha. Number 2. I'm just thinking about this, but parents with tattoos of their kids, you know, pictures of the kids, the
right.
guys that get the big pictures of the kids. It's ironic that the more tattoos of your kids you have on you, the worse the parent you are. And if you think about it, that's a pretty big commitment because, you know, my parents were lukewarm on me. They would have never gotten a tattoo of
no,
me.
But they didn't like you that much.
If I ever did come home and saw a huge tattoo of my 9-year-old puss on the rib cage, I'd think, wow, Daddy really loves me. But as it turns out, these guys are all gangbangers and deadbeat dads and prisoners and light heavyweight boxers. Like, they're the worst. They don't even have custody of most of the kids they have tattooed on them.
That's why they need to look at them. That's probably why they get it. Hello? Oh, did he drop off?
Man. This time we it seems like we did lose him this time. You can't leave us hanging on
number
two.
He was very upset at number two.
We're only ended down to number two. I think it's worth waiting a moment and getting him back on the line for number one, because the East Man is funny. By the way, once again, we're waiting for Adam to hopefully call back or get back on the line. If you want to see him on stage, and you got to go see this guy on stage, because he brings a full multimedia presentation, and it is hilarious. Uptown Theater in Napa, that's on Friday, February 4th. February 5th at the Nugget in Reno, and then February 11th at the Borderline in Thousand Oaks. You can get details on those and all the wide family of podcasts at AdamCarolla.com. All right, any luck?
Looks like they're trying to call him. I don't know. Maybe someplace where he can't be found.
Mm. So what's new with you, Lisa?
It's going to voicemail, apparently, is what they're telling me.
Oh,
and this has been Adam Carolla.
This Week in Rage.
Winter X Games 15 starting tomorrow in Aspen, Colorado. Every day this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're talking to a different winter sports athlete. Monster Mike Schultz coming up. He's a snowmobiler, don't you know? Monster's a pretty good nickname.
Yeah, I like that. If you got two legs.
But I'm a little bit surprised to see that that's his. Why isn't his nickname like Leany? Or,
well, maybe he had the nickname before he lost a leg.
Or something like that. I don't know. Seems like adapt, change with the times, you know. So maybe Kevin will ask him that. Coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show just after the top of the hour. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Before I get to Showbiz news, I've got an email. Quick email to read from one of our listeners.
Come on.
All right, good.
You can't even do it with a straight face.
It's so awesome. I miss these so much. Dear Ralph, I was on the patio of Starbucks on Ventura Boulevard enjoying my coffee yesterday when I was startled by the screeching tires of a car followed by the crash of an accident. Having some training in first aid, I rushed to the car that was hit to check on the motorist, and to my surprise, it was none other than Maureen McCormick, who played Marcia on the Brady Bunch.
Wow.
When she told me she was okay, I then proceeded to check on the driver of the other car. Once again, I was amazed to discover that it was Lou Ferrigno, yes, the Incredible Hulk. It was then that I realized... Lou...
Come on, you can't even get through it.
Lou hit Marcia Brady! Yeah! Yeah! Lou hit Marcia Brady! Yeah! Yeah! Lou hit Marcia Brady! Yeah!
Wow.
Wow. Oh, they're starting to fly in now, people. They're starting to back up over the runway. They're circling the airport.
Wow.
Oh,
let's divert the planes to another field.
That was sweet.
Seriously, the FAA needs to ground all air flight right
now. Hit Marcia Brady.
Come on, Ralph. Don't embarrass me.
Oh, so good. So very, very good.
And by so good, you mean?
The best.
Oh, all right.
I feel bad for Elton John.
Why? He's got everything.
He does. He's got a brand new baby boy, and he's got a longtime partner that seems to be very happy with. But I can't get over the fact that a supermarket in Arkansas that's covering the, I guess it's People magazine?
I think it's Us Weekly.
Us Weekly magazine. It's got a cover of Elton and his partner and their brand new baby on the cover, and they have slapped a plastic cover on top of the magazines.
Like they do with the nudity?
Yes. Claiming it's there to protect young people and families.
From
seeing two grown men holding their new baby.
Are they making out?
No, no.
Are they naked?
No. It's just them. Is
the baby naked?
No. The proud fathers holding their baby in a photograph. That's what that is.
A marriage is between Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
I guess that's the problem. I guess that's what we got going on there.
Is this the most backwards place in America? I mean, do they win today?
Look, if they don't win, they're certainly in the finals. They're certainly in the championship round.
Come on.
Let's try to put ourselves in the headspace of the supermarket let's assume there haven't been complaints from customers, okay?
Because that's usually the case, by the way.
Yeah, it's usually a preemptive strike.
Yeah, exactly. Is a supermarket imagining that customers who come to their store will be in line waiting to check out, and they'll have little kids with them? The little kid will look up and see the Us Weekly magazine, and there'll be two men standing there holding a baby, and that will somehow wreck
them
the
gay.
Kid?
It'll make the kids
will it make
gay.
The kid gay? Yes, is that what they're thinking?
You can get gay just from looking at it.
That's what will happen.
That's true.
So, in that hypothetical situation, do those parents not want those kids to know that there are gay couples?
Well,
or that
yes.
gay couples might have a baby?
I would guess all of that's true, and it's almost impossible to believe.
It is hard to wrap
it
your mind
around. It is 2011. My daughter looked at it and said, is Elton John gay? And I said, maybe more than anyone on earth. And she said, okay.
Well, your daughter is sheltered from reality in a whole different way living with you.
She's not wrecked. No, she doesn't know. She's young, but.
Right. That's an amazing story, Ralph.
That's hard to believe.
Yeah, I can't get over it.
We have that on our countertop. It's just a picture of two guys.
Right.
It really is just the least offensive thing that's ever been on the cover.
That's the least offensive magazine Kevin owns, that's for sure, at his house. How dare you, I'm saying.
That's crazy.
It's the world we live in, people. Sorry to bring you more bad news.
Hey, we're not living in Arkansas.
Sorry to bring you more bad news, but Marvel Comics has announced they're killing off the Human Torch. Johnny Storm of the Fantastic Four is being killed off by Marvel Comics. Boy, is Chris Evans glad he moved on to Captain America. It'd be no more work for him in the Fantastic Four movies. It happens in a massive battle. They claim in issue 558 was will be the last in the series of the Fantastic Four. So take a moment today when you get a chance and just bow your head and wish. Think a good memory about Johnny Storm. So what do you? Try to remember, a good moment you had with Johnny, and just keep him in your thoughts.
I don't have any feeling about that.
Oh, right, Kevin.
I don't care.
Like you didn't love when he would take on Dr. Doom.
I didn't really know. I'm not a comic book geek.
Oh.
I think it's all right.
I'm not feeling it.
America mourns.
I'm saying let's let him go.
America mourns today. That's what I'm saying.
It's time to move on. Life's for the living.
A lot of people were asking why Haley Steinfeld, star of True Grit, was nominated for Best Supporting Actress. When, if you've seen True Grit, you know hers was pretty much the lead role.
That's a good point.
It turns out it was a calculated effort by Paramount Pictures to get Haley a nomination.
Oh, she wouldn't have made it in the five best?
Exactly.
Actresses?
Or if she had, she wouldn't have a shot to win.
Ah.
And there's an interesting Academy rule that says if you receive votes for both categories, your nomination comes in the category where you have the most votes. So they were encouraging people to nominate her in the supporting category versus the lead actress category, even though she did get many votes for that category as well, but she got more for supporting, so that's where her nomination ended
up. I see.
So,
she was great in it.
Yeah, and they're hoping she'll be the front runner and win the award, then they can slap that all over television ads and posters and get some more money for True Grit. So,
sure.
Here's the answer to that question.
Who was it? I want to say it was Anna Paquin. Didn't she get nominated for, maybe even won an Oscar when she was a little kid about that age for the piano,
she
right?
did, for the piano.
Yeah, and yeah. Did she win? Did she win?
She did win.
So is this
I believe she
sort of
was
thing?
The youngest Oscar winner ever.
Because she was in, if you'll recall, just like a True Grit. I mean, she was an equal co-star in that movie. She was in almost every scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how they
Now she just gets naked for dudes who bite her.
Yeah.
Whore. Way to sully the Academy Award, by the way. Whore.
And by whore, you mean keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're perfect.
You make it sound bad.
Whore. The 60s are coming back, people.
Nope.
Oh, everybody loves the 60s.
No, they don't. I don't.
No!
With the Mad Men being a smash hit, a lot of TV series are coming up next fall, all based in the 1960s. We've got one based on Pan Am with the sexy stewardesses who would fly around the world in Pan Am and bone a lot of dudes.
Yeah.
Okay. That's going to jet something. It's called Jet.
Jet Goo.
No.
Yes, that's it.
It's called Jet Goo.
Oh, I hope so.
There's a one about the Playboy clubs in the 60s with all the little bunnies bouncing around in the Playboy
all
clubs
right.
that were around.
Well, that's right.
As long as we're focusing on sex and not in the music.
And a drama set in Miami of the early 1960s called Magic City, starring Chris Angel. No, I'm kidding. They just announced their lead, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, from Grey's Anatomy and from The Watchmen and Supernatural. He will be the lead. And he's a man's man, too. Here's the thing. When you set a movie, a TV show in the 60s, you got to have a man's man as the lead. You have to have a real dude. You can't have your Rob Pattinsons. You can't have your flimsy actors there. You need a man to play that role, like a John Hamm or a Jeffrey Dean Morgan. So congratulations to those guys. Apparently, Miami in the 60s was a hot spot for politicians, celebrities, and crime. So it's got a lot of stuff to talk about.
And
there.
Cocaine.
I don't know if it was the 60s or not.
70s?
I think the 70s more so. Speaking of controversial television, Skins on MTV
Second episode of the series aired on Monday night, and it might have been Much Ado About Nothing. People worried about their kids being perverted and the advertisers dropping off. It only had half the viewers of the premiere episode, so it's already lost half its audience.
What a surprise after all the publicity it got, too.
I was surprised that there wouldn't be more eyes on it, but I haven't seen the show. Maybe it's not very good.
Well, the first episode wasn't good. And well, maybe that's why a lot of people didn't come back, because the first episode, they checked it out and said, not for me.
The second episode was better.
Was much better, yeah.
But so. I think the first one, Dave just said in my earphones, the first one followed Jersey Shore.
Ah.
So maybe they had such a big lead-in. That's how I noticed it.
I got you.
Who said that in your earphones, Kevin? I'm sorry.
The Mexicutioner.
The Mexicutioner, yeah. Right.
Mexlax?
Mexlax.
Mexlax did that?
Right.
The Mexipad?
I think Dave likes his nickname's better than yours.
Yeah, but Ralph's are more accurate.
Yeah.
So, what are you going to do?
Today's celebrity birthdays, Eddie Van Halen.
Yes.
Shreddist extraordinaire turns 56 years old today. Ellen DeGeneres is 53. Hockey legend Wayne Gretzky celebrates his 50th birthday. The other half of Wham, Andrew Ridgely, celebrates his 48th birthday. Sarah Rue, very talented and lovely actress, turns 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Mike Schultz. You watch him in Winter X in Snowcross.
I've been racing snowmobiles for 11 years now. Things were going really good up until last December 13th of 2008. I was in a bad accident. Got a little squirrely coming down the hill. Kind of put my foot out to brace my fall, and my knee was locked straight. My weight coming down on my one knee just exploded it.
After a week or two, I started to feel better. I'm like, well, I'm definitely going to get back on the snowmobile again. You know, maybe not racing.
The competitiveness doesn't go away. The level I'm at right now, even after my accident, is just kind of blows my mind, too. I didn't think I'd ever be able to do this again.
What a story. Winter X Games 15 kicking off in Aspen, Colorado tomorrow. One of the guys we're going to be watching on our ESPN is Monster Mike Schultz, who joins us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mike, how are you, man?
Yeah, not too bad. Morning, guys.
Great to talk to you. Very exciting. Every day this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, we've been talking to a different athlete from the Winter X Games, but you have an unbelievable story, and I got to be honest, I was not up to speed with adaptive snowcross. Tell me about this event.
Yeah, it's last year was the inaugural season for it, and they had been running adaptive motocross in the summertime for the last couple of years.
Now, explain to people what adaptive means.
Adaptive, it's a class set up for guys who are missing limbs, amputees, or paralyzed people. So we got guys missing hands and feet and legs, and then also guys who are paralyzed from, the chest or waist down. And, it's pretty amazing to see some of these guys out there, strapping themselves on the machines and giving her heck.
Yeah, but what's the downside? If you're paralyzed, it doesn't hurt.
Right. I hear Zsa Zsa Gabor is competing this year. Is that true?
Who's that?
Yeah,
Zsa Zsa Gabor, famous actress, right? All right, here's what I don't understand, though, about your event, because obviously you've spent a lot of time with the prosthetic leg, and as I understand, as the legend has it, you designed your own because you were putting too much, giving too much abuse to the ones you'd been trying, and they weren't sticking for you. It seems like could you compete in the regular snowmobiling competition with a prosthetic leg, or would you just not be allowed because they feel like that might be an advantage for you?
No, we're not quite to that level yet, but, I mean, at some point I could definitely maybe get there. They definitely wouldn't have any rules against it. It would just
be just so much more difficult.
Yeah, definitely. It wouldn't be an advantage whatsoever.
Gotcha. How tough was it? Obviously, coming back from the catastrophic injury is tough because that affects your whole life. But once you started getting out in the snow again, on a snowmobile, how tough was it for you mentally to kind of not pull back and be afraid after being in such a bad accident?
Yeah, that wasn't the big issue. It was, kind of right off the bat, I pretty much told myself, well, I'm not going to be racing again. And then slowly got back onto the machine and started, feeling that, hey, I might be able to get out there and boogie again if I had the right equipment. And so I looked into some of the equipment and nothing was really, available that would hold up to the abuse. And so that's kind of what sparked me into developing my own. And
now, are you responsible for the Winter X Games adding this category?
No, I mean, it was before my accident, they had been, they did an exhibition actually the year that I got hurt. You know, that was like, right, you know, they had that plan before my accident.
Right.
So, you know, my involvement might have, you know, helped bring it along a bit farther. But, yeah, it was definitely, you know, cool that they have these adaptive classes.
We're talking to athlete Mike Schultz here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is one of the competitors in the Winter X Games 15 at Buttermilk Mountain, Aspen, Colorado. You started out in motocross, then switched over to snowcross. Do you love them both equally, or do you have a favorite, Mike?
That's a tough question. All kinds of people ask me that. And, you know, there's pluses and minuses of both. You know, motocross, there's tons more places to go ride and more people that do it. And then, you know, snowmobile is my forte. I mean, I was a professional for 4 or 5 years before my accident. So, but, you know, with the snowmobiles, you got the downside with the cold weather. So, you know, it's kind of it's a toss-up for sure.
Right. You've been to Aspen a few times for the X Games. What's the vibe like this year? Is it going to be bigger and better than ever?
It's definitely, it seems every year they step it up a notch. And I haven't been out there yet. I'm still en route. Had some troubles with my truck on the way out here. So I'm planning on getting there tomorrow morning. But, you know, definitely looking forward to a big show.
And when do you compete? When can we watch you on TV?
We will be running the adaptive class Sunday. I think we're scheduled for like 12:45. That'd be mountain time.
Okay, so that would be 11:35 Pacific?
Yeah, 10-minute time difference. That's right. Yeah,
I don't know. I can figure it out.
24 hours of live HD programming on ESPN, ESPN2, and ESPN.3.com is where it is. It's amazing, the coverage. Every year it seems like they up it even more. So if you love X Games, you definitely are not going to want to leave the house this weekend. That's for sure. It sounds like so much fun, Mike. We wish you the best of luck at the Winter X Games 15 this weekend, man.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. And keep an eye out for the Loctite Amsoil Prosthetic Laboratory Skidoo. Keep an eye out.
We'll do that. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what any of those words mean, but we'll look them up.
We certainly will. Ralph Garman, who has made quite an entrance here to the Kevin and Bean Show. This better be late-breaking news right off the wire with the way you came running in with all those papers.
It's getting brutal.
Oh.
It's this Kings of Leon Glee battle.
Oh, no.
Really? Still going on?
It is on like Black Swan. That's how on it is. They're going at each other fast and furiously.
How did this all start, and when and why?
Glee asked Kings of Leon for permission to take You Somebody, their hit song,
but how did it
and
be
do
a year
Glee-ify
ago?
It.
That had to be like a year ago.
Having the Glee kids do an arrangement and a version of it.
Right.
And Kings of Leon said, no, Glee, down, bad dog.
Wouldn't you bet there are a lot of musicians that have said no to Glee? Glee's asked and they said no?
I don't know what the percentage is requests.
I would think they're not the only one.
I think most say
it's
yes.
Not unusual, yeah.
I know Guns N' Roses has very vocally said they would not allow them to use any of their music, but as far as I know, most of the other people they've asked have been more than accommodating.
Have been cool with it.
Yeah.
All right.
So, anyway, they said no, and the Hollywood Reporter was talking to the creator of the show, Ryan Murphy, and he said to the Hollywood Reporter, "F you, Kings of Leon. They're self-centered assholes.
Wow.
And they missed the big picture. They missed that a 7-year-old kid can see someone close to their age singing a Kings of Leon song, which will maybe make them want to join a Glee club or pick up a musical instrument." It's like,
Coach, I'd like to say that's his issue, though. That's his cause. Kings of Leon doesn't have to care about the same thing he cares about.
It's like, okay, hate on arts education. You can make fun of Glee all you want, but at its heart, what we really do is turn kids on to music. So Kings of Leon hates children. That's what we've discovered.
And hates music. It's possible that's an exaggeration.
Now, Kings of Leon gave a statement to the Hollywood Reporter today about the whole thing getting out of hand. But Nathan Folwell tweeted something this very morning that we got a copy of here. "Dear Ryan Murphy, let it go. See a therapist. Get a manicure. Buy a new bra.
Best thing ever.
Zip your lip and focus on educating 7-year-olds how to say the F word." So it's getting heated. It's getting It's getting quite heated between
Glee and
KOL.
This is great.
It is great.
I love it.
This is the oddest music feud ever. Soon they're going to be popping caps in each other's asses and drive-bys. Ryan Murphy's going to go by Kings of Leon.
What the hell?
Throw eggs at their house and stuff.
This is great. Awesome.
More.
What's with that band, man? Aren't they all brothers or something?
Yeah. Use some of that clever stuff over on Regis and Kelly, by the way, Mike, when you get there.
I hope you bring some accents, Mike.
Yeah, do the accent.
Yeah,
that's good.
Bring some accents. And dig it like a garden. Make sure you break that one out. That was strong.
Life is like a garden. I dig it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
John Travolta has turned down a request to appear in a cameo on Glee.
Oh.
They said, listen, your little girlfriend, Olivia Newton-John, came by and did a little performance for us. Could you join us, too? And he said, no.
Is there a feud now between them?
Yes.
All right. Yes.
Ryan Murphy has kidnapped John's hairpiece and will not release it. No, apparently John has the best of intentions for turning it down. He said because he doesn't have enough rehearsal time.
Okay.
Because he's a knock 'em dead kind of guy, John says.
Hmm.
I have a criteria or a pride that I would want to knock 'em dead. And I don't think I could knock 'em dead with a week's rehearsal. When I'm asked to do a musical, I train for 6 to 9 months. Oh, F you. Just sing a song. 9 months.
He's got to get in Staying Alive shape.
Have you seen what these kids do on a week?
They really...
There's a kid in a wheelchair who can outdance you right now, John Travolta. He learns that choreography in a week. Just show up. Get your bloated ass to the set and sing Grease Lightning or whatever the F they ask you to do. Pompous F.
And it's funny because other celebrities like Gwyneth Paltrow, not a singer, she goes in there and is able to do it in 8 or 9 days like they ask.
Just show
like
up and do it.
Yeah, John Travolta, who actually was a singer, had top 10 hit records. It seems like it shouldn't be that tough for him maybe to show up and warble a little bit.
Ginormous douchebag.
Warble?
Yeah, he's a warbler.
ABC. I'm saying he's not a strong singer, Kevin. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. ABC's talking about all their new TV shows today. I mentioned already. I'll get that.
I got an email,
I think. I told you that Jeffrey Dean Morgan's going to be starring in a new movie, a TV show rather, on ABC about the 60s in Miami.
Right.
Which is pretty cool. Pan Am is another series set in the 60s. It's going to be going on over on ABC. I talked about the Charlie's Angels pilot that they're going to be doing at ABC. What I'm most excited about is a new comedy called Work It, about two out-of-work salesmen who disguise themselves as women to get jobs as pharmaceutical representatives.
Oh, that's fresh.
Oh, that's going to be funny. Those guys are going to put on dresses and wigs, and they're going to have to pretend they're women.
Never been done before.
Nope. Never. Well, if you don't count Bosom Buddies and Some Like It Hot and Mama's Throw Big Mama from the Train or whatever that Martin Lawrence series was.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Tootsie.
And
Medea.
Oh, I get it now. That's funny. But seriously, I hate you and I hope you get hit by a truck.
Yeah. Here's the thing about Work It, about guys dressing up as women. Tom Hanks couldn't make that premise work on television.
Yeah.
One of our greatest actors of all time. I loved Bosom Buddies, but it wasn't a successful show on television. It's more fondly remembered as a cult hit. Just saying.
I think it's mostly famous because Tom Hanks went on to be Tom Hanks. That's why people remember it now.
That's the only reason, yeah.
I enjoyed it. I remember watching it and liking it. But
you have no taste.
I do have taste, but I'm just saying a lot of people weren't really hot for it.
I think that when the Wayans brothers did White Girls, that should have put that whole genre to bed. They should have just said, all right, that's it. We're out. We've exhausted the comic possibilities of this.
Yeah, I agree. Trent Reznor and... what's his partner's name? Atticus Finch,
yes.
Right? Atticus Ross are working together again to do another soundtrack.
Oh, no kidding.
They had such success with their best original score for The Social Network.
He said they really loved it.
That director of that movie, David Fincher, is asking them to do another soundtrack for them. He's working on The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, the English-speaking version of the movie based on that popular book. And he's asked those guys to do the score for that. So it looks like they've got a career going for themselves in movie music.
It's interesting. I mean... you know, Danny Elfman is now best known as a film scorer.
Yeah.
And, of course, he had a huge pop and rock career. And I get the impression that Trent Reznor is a little bit tired of songs, of Nine Inch Nails type songs. And he's really, really deep into this kind of music work now. So who knows? Maybe, you know, 20 years from now, people will go, oh, really? He used to be a singer, too?
Yeah. Before I get to celebrity birthdays, I'm running out of time here. I want to say how much I enjoyed your interview, guys, with Mike Schultz. Regarding the Winter X Games.
Oh, the Snowcross guy? Yeah.
Yeah. He's working on a... No.
Oh.
He's got a new kind of sport in the Winter X Games.
Right.
For people with disabilities.
Right.
people who are paralyzed, people who are missing limbs.
He lost a leg.
He lost a leg, right. For example. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was an interesting interview. Well, I mean, up until when Bean killed it, I just mean, you know, with Bean the interview killer. I don't know if you heard that segment now when they were talking about people who were missing a leg.
I lived it.
Did you live it?
Yeah.
Well, for those of you who missed it, I would like to present you a little segment I like to call Bean the Interview Killer.
I hear Zsa Zsa Gabor is competing this year. Is that true?
Who's that?
Yeah. Zsa Zsa Gabor, famous actress, right?
Bean the Interview Killer.
Yeah. You should have heard us after the interview. You should have heard us.
Fresh.
I was yelling at him.
Fresh
I was like,
is today's headline.
He's like, it's all over the news. I said, I watch the news. I've never seen anything about it. I don't care because she's 700.
She's 93 years
Come
old.
Come on.
Her best celebrity days may be behind her. I'm just thinking.
Look, I know that her celebrity days are behind her. That's absolutely true. But she has been back in the news a lot lately because she went into the hospital.
The interview.
She went into the hospital and had her leg amputated.
Right, it did add a lot to the interview. You have to
Within
say that.
Within the last week. All right. It happened. Fine. I'm not going back Fine. 10 years Listen, or 50 years.
We're not saying that your facts aren't straight. Did it help the interview along, or did it kill it?
It could have gone either way. It's very possible.
How did
that
it
the guy,
go?
It didn't go as well as I might have liked.
I hear Zsa Zsa Gabor is competing this year. Is that true?
Who's that?
Yeah.
Zsa Zsa Gabor, famous actress, right?
Be the interview killer.
If Look, you have to say famous actress after the name of the woman you mentioned, she's not a famous actress.
What was that?
Hear my whole thing. I thought if anyone has likely been paying attention to the news about a celebrity who loses a limb, it would be a guy who has also lost a limb.
Right. You thought wrong.
That was
an incorrect thought.
You are wrong-headed.
I rolled the dice and it came
and
up.
And you lost.
Whatever it comes up that's bad.
What was that?
Sevens or twos or whatever comes up that's bad.
Can't wait till next time we talk some more about that head injury and Bean brings up Abraham Lincoln.
Come on.
Hey, that matinee sure didn't work out for the president, huh?
Bean was a trauma victim.
He was yelling at me. It's all over the news. I watch the news every day. I didn't see it.
Now, Ralph, you certainly knew that she had her leg amputated last week, right? You got the reference. You understood what I was talking about.
I am a collector of arcane show business factoids. I'm saying the dude who spends his day out there on the slaloms, he was an athlete who's trying to put together a new competition for the handicap, may not be following the latest Zsa Zsa news.
He's 93.
So it helped or hurt the interview in your opinion?
I'm just saying it killed
it. It was a killer.
Okay, gotcha.
Today's celebrity birthdays, guitarist Eddie Van Halen, 56 years old today. Ellen DeGeneres is 53. The great one, hockey legend Wayne Gretzky, celebrates his 50th birthday. Kirk Franklin, gospel singer, is 41 years old. Andrew Ridgely from Wham is 48. And actress Sarah Rue celebrates a much slimmer 32 years today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have Dr. Drew, who is on death's door, apparently.
Oh, poor Drew.
Got to talk to him about that. We have Scotty Lego talking about the Winter X Games. He's a snowboarder. We have Rich Eisen from the NFL Network talking about the Pro Bowl, of course, which we're all excited about, the Pro Bowl.
That's all we're going to ask him about is the Pro Bowl.
Yeah. I'm watching, bitches. It's the only place I can see Eagles play anymore.
That's true. Comedian Jim Jefferies on the program and live music from Social D.
Fantastic. Tomorrow morning. Wow, Social D, how you feel about Napoleon? He sure got sent to Alba, didn't he?
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
I may incorporate that question
please
in the interview.
Please.
Kat Corbett's up next. Why not stick around? She's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music.